Blog Talk Radio.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
I saw this guy, Ron Paul. He's my new hero.
There's very specific, strong reasons to support Ron Paul.
Ron Paul's baseline is the Constitution, unlike any other candidate.
Ron Paul is the candidate of freedom.
Truth and principle. I mean, he's always been right on the issues, and he's a very candid and honest individual.
Classic conservatism.
I think the closest candidly is probably Ron Paul.
Pro stock market candidate. Ron
Paul. This man brings together people of all races, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all political affiliations, because freedom is truth, and truth is power, and we can live and be free in this country. If we believe, we can.
I'm Ron Paul. I'm a congressman from Texas. I am the champion of the Constitution.
Truth of your world government has now been exposed. You are not our queens. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans have stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We will defeat your world government. You will and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Give me shelter, don't leave me behind. It's your last life, don't leave me behind. So much pain now, don't leave me alone. Under the cellar door, beneath the floor.
Losing the edges of my mind.
right. Gentlemen, it's Thursday night here on the Sonny Thomas Show, and I'm your well-informed and very aware host, Sonny Thomas, here on blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges. Now, we have two very powerful guests tonight, and I'm looking forward to diving into them very shortly. My first guest is Lori Handrahan. She has a very impressive resume in of herself. She's also an author and coming up with a new book called Child Porn Nation, and she's going to talk to us about exposing some of the child porn, child slavery that's going on in the actual government and stuff that we know of. For example, you know, anybody who's ever been stuck in CPS, 9 times out of 10, the kids wind up a hell of a lot more screwed up than when they originally went in, so it says a lot. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in that particular realm, so I'm looking forward to hearing her comments and any ideas that she may have towards not only getting us more aware of the situation, but what we can do to try to retaliate against it and try to keep these sick puppies away from our children. My second guest in the 10 o'clock hour is Alex Linder. He is the founder of Vanguard News Network, which is VNN Forum, and he has some very interesting comments to talk about, too, as well as typically who's behind the New World Order and why they're trying to divide us along racial lines and getting us to fight each other all the time, and at the same time, some of the Zionists for what they really are. So he's going to be a very powerful guest in the second hour, so I'm sure he's going to have some key insights, judging from some of his posts, what type of information he can tell us about, as well as how to fight some of this stuff. But what we're seeing is what's going on right now in the Bundy Ranch in Nevada is very, very much a very serious situation because of the fact that this is Agenda 21 at its full tilt. From my understanding, this is the one of the last big ranches left there in Nevada. 52 other ranches have already basically literally bought the farm and sold it. So it's really getting to be a hectic situation. So I've actually heard some people comment that it's actually getting to the point that some of us are thinking about pulling John Wayne, saddle up, and take whatever tools we need to get the job done and head on out there to Nevada, just short of, I think it's near Granite City. Forget which one it is, but it's out there, and it's like out in the middle of nowhere. Now, Alex Jones actually has some of his guys out there now with David Knight reporting live, so I'm looking forward to seeing the nighttime news thing on that. So, but a lot of interesting things going on here, and more people waking up to this every single day, and those of us that have become activists, whether we've decided to fight the powers that be on their turf or try to fight them in the courts and try to expose things to what they are, and you have instant retaliation, such as a lady I talked to a couple years ago, Deanna Meadows, up in near Cleveland, Ohio. Her and her husband were trying to expose how the sheriff's son was essentially taking kickbacks on permits. Like, if they know buddies that you don't have to pay maybe, you know, a few hundred bucks for a permit, where everyone else has got to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. And when they try to expose that, instead of the media trying to look into it, they went and attacked them. So that's the type of stuff that's going on, and I'm sure my first guest, Lori Handrahan, is going to let us into some of the stuff that she's gone through. But she's no slouch either. She's got a very impressive resume. Dr. Lori Handrahan is a Ph.D. from London School of Economics. She has 20 years of practitioner work in Central Asia, Africa, and the Balkans, focused on gender-based violence, international human rights, humanitarian response, conflict and post-conflict environments, masculinities and men, boys, and development violence, and gender within the UN, within UN reform and organizational change. She has served as a UN consultant for UNFPA, UNDP, OCHA, UNHCR, and UNICEF. She was UNHCR's first gender expert in emergency operations in Chad during the Darfur genocide and regional gender activist for UNHCR in the Balkans. She was lead researcher for CARES Girls Leadership Assessment in Yemen, UNFPA's Gender-Based Violence Information Management System pilot in Uganda, and UCHA's Gender Review. Dr. Hanrahan's book, Gendering Ethnicity, was published by Routledge in 2001. She has published in peer-reviewed journals such as the International Feminist, Bureau of Politics, Security Dialogue, and has been a guest on CNN, Fox News, CTV, and VOA with op-eds in the New York Times, Christian Science Monitor, Huffington Post, and Fox News Opinion. She is currently finishing up her new book coming out this year called Child Porn Nation. So obviously she's been around the block, she's been around the world, and she's going to have a lot of information to tell us on what the hell is going on and to really address this very serious situation. So I'm looking very much forward to interviewing her tonight. So Lori Hanrahan, to add to your resume now, you can list that you're featured on the Sunny Thomas Show. Welcome.
Hey, Sunny, thank you very much. I'm really, really delighted to be on. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, just going from your background and the conversation that we've had before, wow, where do we start at? Should we start with what you've seen firsthand, or shall we start with your personal experience with the corrupt powers that be?
Well, it's up to you. I have to say that your show will be the very first media exposure for this book, Child Porn Nation. So maybe we want to start with that because it's pretty stunning.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just, as you know, we talked the other day. I've just finished up. We only have two chapters done. I have an agent who's pitching it to publishers right now. But the reason that I needed to do this book was because I needed to understand what was going on in this country. And if I hadn't lived through it, I wouldn't believe it myself. So the point of the book is to document how many people, particularly in law enforcement, are being arrested for child rape, and really substantial child rape, one-year-olds, two-year-olds, bondage, anal rape, drugging, police chiefs, two former undersecretaries of the Navy. I mean, I can go on and on. And the thesis is that it's really a hidden national security risk and a threat, because so many people who are responsible for our security at the local community level and at the national level are engaged actually in harming the security of our children and ourselves. So that's sort of the point of the book. I came into this in a pretty rough way. My daughter was raped at the age of 2 by her father. He is a criminal alien from the former Yugoslavia where I had been stationed with the UN. She was substantiated for that rape by the sexual assault forensic examiner of the state of Maine, who had been ordered to do an investigation by Child Protective Services when she came home from a visit with her father and her vagina was shredded and she was screaming when she was peeing because he'd ripped up her vagina. And she was given to him and the family courts. He has sole custody. He has a long criminal record of violence. I didn't even have a parking ticket to my name before all this. And I haven't seen her. She turned 7 in November. I haven't seen her or spoken to her since she was 4. So it's been 6 years of the worst nightmare any parent could ever imagine. And the really horrific thing is that if I had been willing to participate in the sex abuse of my child with my husband or ex-husband, or had been willing to look the other way, I'd still have custody of her. And that's what I'm finding across the country, unfortunately, and pretty shockingly, more and more women are involved in the sex abuse of their own children. Often they're saying that the husbands are demanding it. There were two military cases that I've reviewed that stand out in my mind. One was a Marine in Florida who told his future wife that he wouldn't marry her unless they had a prenuptial agreement that once they had children, we got to have daddy-daughter sex, and that was part of their marriage. And another case, this beautiful woman, you know, in her early, mid-20s, in one of the intelligence agencies with one of the military branches, highly qualified, highly trained, and she was molesting her infant son with her boyfriend. And they got caught when he was overseas and he had demanded that she, and she complied, molest the child, the infant child, over Skype for him, and she did. You know, I mean, some of this, it's really hard to write the book because the images just stand out in my mind. And there was another military case where he had tied a six-year-old girl to a swing and was raping her. A live stream is really popular, a live stream on Skype, for another military friend of his and his wife. And they were, the wife was saying, yeah, go, ravage the girl. It's just, when I got to how many people in the military were doing this, I thought it couldn't get any worse. And then I just finished up a section on local law enforcement across the country. And the number of police chiefs that are being caught, it's just mind-blowing. And what we're trying to do with the book is that often the media will just say, so-and-so was picked up and he had 328,000 images of child porn. And people don't really know what that means. They think, oh, well, okay, maybe it was like barely legal girls. They were 17, big deal. So I'll just give you an example. A recent police captain from Granby, Connecticut, David Burke, he just got sentenced to 10 years. He had 328,000 images and 4,000 videos on his police computer, okay,
wow,
of sadistic and violent acts against infant and toddlers. His collection was organized into more than 300 subfolders named Photos, Babies, Men, including 6 to 10-year-old boys. Prosecutors said the images were extremely disturbing and some were very especially horrific. They included a boy between the ages of 1 and 3 being raped by an adult man in the anus, a boy between 3 and 6 with an adult penis pressed up against his anus, a child less than a year old performing oral sex on an adult male. The police chief was telling people to enjoy themselves as he was distributing this child porn. And then they have a chat where he's talking with another pedophile, and the police chief is saying, you know, hey, do you have any new rape, bondage, torture pictures? And they're going, yeah, well, most of them are old. I have a few from Russia, a couple of Arab ones, no good new American ones. You know, so this is a police chief. So what do you think happens if you're a mother like I was, and you report to the police that your 2-year-old daughter has just been substantiated medically for rape by her father, and the police do nothing? And I couldn't figure out why the South Portland police in Maine were doing nothing. And now I understand it's because they're being run by pedophiles. So if you have a police captain who's desperately trying to get new rape videos of 1 and 2-year-old children, and you report to him that your child has just been raped, do you think he's going to protect your child, or do you think he's going to contact the man who's raping your child and see if he can have at her too? So, I mean, this is what's happening in this country, and what I'm coming up against is enormous denial, particularly in the state of Maine, which is what I know well, which appears to be run entirely by pedophiles. I think they've set up a system where they've put in place within the police, within the courts, within child protection, within the political offices, pedophiles, they're all protecting each other. The former state police chief of the entire state of Maine, he's 73 years old now, he's retired, he was just caught raping his 4-year-old granddaughter. Now, in the rest of the country, all of these reported, and I'm just pulling up media reports, so I'm typing in police officer arrested for child porn, and I'm only getting what's publicly available to anybody else. Anybody can pull up this data and see the same thing that I'm seeing. So the standard operating procedure across the country is that even if a cop is reported on suspicious behavior, they're immediately pulling a search warrant on the guy to see if he has a child porn collection, because the two go hand in hand. Well, you got the 73-year-old state police chief raping his 4-year-old daughter. He had a granddaughter. He admitted to doing it. Okay, he's pled, basically, he hasn't pled out yet, but he admitted it. So he says, I'm guilty. The state police and nobody in Maine pulls a search warrant on the guy. Right? Nobody. It's insane. So this is the kind of cover-up that's going on. Basically, these men want to be able to keep raping our children, and anybody who speaks out against this is slandered and smeared and destroyed, which is what happened to me. I was fired illegally from my job as a professor at American University because I started to talk about the subject of elite people in government who are doing child porn and getting away with it. There was an assistant attorney general with the Department of Justice who was downloading child porn, which is child rape. That's what child porn is, and it's usually violent and brutal torture. on his DOJ computer, and Eric Holder refused to prosecute him. The guy walked totally free. And I didn't know that we had pedophiles at American University. At the time, I didn't know that our former president was calling local daycares, offering money in exchange to have sex with 2- and 3-year-old children, which is very common, actually. And he's still on faculty. He was never fired. He's still there. He didn't do a day in jail. I was fired for writing about this stuff, and I haven't been able to get employment since. That's a year since then. So here's another one. It's just sort of staggering. A police sergeant in Tampa, Florida, his name was he's still alive, Jonathan Gramson. He's 53 years old. And this journalist in Florida had done some really good reporting because often, as I said, people will just say child porn arrest, and that's it, and they won't describe what this guy was doing. And I think it's particularly important that we start to understand what our law enforcement is involved in and how extensive it is. He got 4 years. He pled guilty. He was actually caught by Homeland Security, and he had sex abuse of at least one baby. Other images included a little girl who was bound and blindfolded and then photographed while somebody sexually assaulted her. Investigators said the images were sadistic and horrific. There was another girl who was hung by her wrists from a ceiling while she was raped. He'd been in law enforcement for 25 years. Right? I mean, another image, this one I just pulled yesterday, and I just can't get it out of my head. So there was a deputy sheriff in Grand Island County, Vermont. His name is Nick Moen, M-O-E-N. So all the news articles just said that he's been charged with 3 felony counts of child porn possession. So I sent an email to the Attorney General in Vermont, and I said, under the Freedom of Information Act, I'd like to see all the criminal documents around this guy's felony counts. So even when you ask under the Freedom of Information Act, you don't often get it. Sometimes they just tell you to fuck yourself. Sorry if I swear. I don't know if you can swear on blog radio, but sometimes they just absolutely refuse to comply with your Freedom of Information Act. The AG in Vermont, I got to give them credit. They responded immediately, and they gave me all the criminal documents. So this deputy in Vermont went from just being all the mainstream media had just said 3 felony counts of child porn. What does that mean, right? Nobody knows what it means. So I get the criminal complaints, and they describe the files that he was downloading. So he had a 9-year-old girl who was giving her father a super BJ, and he had toddler abuse. And this is what the criminal complaint actually said. He was disseminating a file called, in parentheses, little daughter gives dad a super BJ, 9 years old. Then this is the one I can't get out of my mind. Another file he had downloaded was a female child who appears to be less than 12 being raped by a man, and all you see is the man wearing black socks. They don't show his face or his head. And the child was forced to put a black ski mask over her head so that the child couldn't be identified in the porn. So you've got a 10-year-old, 8-year-old girl with a ski mask over her head being raped by a man, and this was a sheriff's deputy. He's free on bond until sentencing. Another police chief, this just happened in January of this year, Mount Pleasant, New York, he was arrested. And he had enormous amounts of child porn, including all the criminal complaints show the kinds of files that he was downloading and basically masturbating to. 17-year-old boy fucking a 7-year-old girl, 10-year-old pussy on the webcam. I mean, this was a police chief. And almost every single media report, they interview people, his colleagues, family, friends. They all say, I'm so shocked. He was the nicest guy. He was the one who loved right. kids. He was the one who was always there in the community. He was the little league coach. He was the, yeah, so that's what pedophiles do. They specifically cultivate positions of power that they can use to continue to commit their crimes. And they cultivate a public personality of being the most unlikely person to ever be fucking 2- and 3-year-old kids, you know? This one, another police chief in Pennsylvania, he just had his sentencing, his arraignment. He hasn't been sentenced yet yesterday. 44-year-old Robert Geist. This guy is probably going to get less than a year in jail. So here's the other thing. I mean, there's no federal standards, right? So you'll see one guy who will get 20 years, and maybe he had 1,000 videos. And then you see a guy like this who's basically going to probably walk. So another police chief, one of the files that he had was a six-year-old baby being raped. It was called six-year-old baby bedtime rape, right? And when they arrested him, he was living with his father, and his father alerted him that the police were at the door. While they arrested him, he was destroying his hard drive. And he's still free. He's working as a truck driver now, and he'll probably get less than a year, you know? Just staggering.
Wow.
The military, a lot of the cops were saying that they started doing child porn in the military. And this is, when you talk about it being a national security issue, this is what I mean on the national security issue. Former Undersecretary of the Navy under Reagan and also former Secretary of the Navy under Clinton. So it's a bipartisan issue, unfortunately. This guy was just arrested here in Washington, James Daniel Howard, in 2013 for child porn. Joint Striker Force Program Navy officer was arrested in 2014 for use of government computers to download hundreds, this is a quote, hundreds of gigabytes of child sex abuse, particularly of young girls, and bestiality, right? So bestiality seems to be a common link with child porn. An Army prosecutor and a judge advocate, Daniel Wolvington, father of two, convicted in 2011 for infant sodomy. He had over 30,000 images of brutal child sex abuse, including of a three-month-old infant. And in this case, the Army prosecutor and judge advocate, Daniel Wolvington, there were images of 1- and 2- and 3-year-old little boys who had been bound and gagged and handcuffed and were being anally raped. These guys produce porn of themselves raping the children to share it. So what I say in the book, for instance, if those three examples aren't concerning enough, one of the most shocking arrests that I've read recently, America's chief scientist responsible, the number one scientist in America, responsible for monitoring global nuclear activity at Patrick Air Force Base, the Technical Application Center, which operates America's Atomic Energy Detection System. May 2013, he's 71 years old, David O'Brien. He was arrested and charged with 10 counts of child porn, possession, and distribution. So when you see 10 counts, usually it's a very, very high volume, because if it's a small volume, they'll usually do 1 or 2 counts. We don't have any more information on this. The sheriff, it was Brevard County Sheriff's office in Florida. They were fantastic. Lieutenant Lanza responded to me immediately, and he said, unfortunately, the case is still active and pending prosecution, and under Florida state law, we can't release any more criminal investigation information at this time. But here you have a sheriff's office who's going after a top military guy. So what I found is that good cops hate bad cops more than anybody else in the world. And my hope is with the good cops. And you said at the beginning, you know, well, what can we do about this? I think all of us need to appeal to the good police in our community, because the good police know that who the bad police are, and they know that they're doing this stuff, and we need to end it. There should be absolutely zero tolerance for any child sex abuse by anybody who's on a government salary. End of story.
I agree. Now, so there seems to be an obvious pattern here. If it's the military, is it possibly because in this particular situation with such the extension of tours that some of these guys are doing, that you run the risk of, because we're running out of people to go slaughter, and plus you got a standing army is used to just going out and shooting people for whatever reason, are they basically, A, turning on the children because of the fact that they're basically can be easy victims, or B, are they just, because they're trained killers, and not to mention, but a lot of these guys we see are basically psychological vampires, because children are innocent and they have such a natural life force that strikes out more than an adult one does, that they're going after these children because of the fact that they're essentially trying to suck the life force out of them. I mean, they're innocent.
Well,
yeah.
This is one of the the first chapter of the book, I looked at people in your local community, because before I'd had a Forbes magazine article and some television interviews where I was talking about the people at the Pentagon. You know, there's like over 5,000 guys at the Pentagon with top security clearance. That's even Anderson Cooper did a show on that. That's pretty mainstream. And they were never investigated or prosecuted. Like, less than a handful ever even were prosecuted. And so I was getting criticism from some good guys in law enforcement saying, hey, why are you picking on us? It's not just us. And my point was, look, if I'm the mother of a child who's been raped, which I am, I don't report that rape to a college professor, and the college professor doesn't have a legal responsibility and power to protect my child. You, as a police officer, do. So it's a completely different scenario when you've got a pediatrician or a coach or a professor or a teacher or a daycare worker doing this than when you have somebody who's in a position of law enforcement power who's volunteered to serve and protect, whether that's, you know, federal law enforcement, military, local law enforcement. But in order to avoid that criticism this time, the first chapter was just about pediatricians, basically doctors, and it's overwhelmingly, when I started looking at doctors who have been arrested for child porn across the country, overwhelmingly pediatricians, most of them or many of them heads of pediatric oncology departments. I mean, you know, really, really sick stuff. Lawyers arrested for child porn, daycare workers arrested for child porn, coaches arrested for child porn. I mean, it's like, it's as appalling as the military, and none of those people are killing. Well, there's child porn snuff, which is also a big problem, too, so I can't say none of them are killing children. But, you know, a lawyer isn't a trained killer necessarily if he's just been a lawyer his whole profession. Neither is a college professor. And you're seeing staggering numbers at that level, too. So I don't think that there's a link between killing and child rape. The only consistent, and I don't have good data because the government refuses to put out good data, right? That's the problem. Nobody wants anybody to sit down and actually piece this shit together. The only consistent pattern that I can see across the board is that this is overwhelmingly white men in power in their middle age. You know, 40, 50, 60-year-old white man in a position of power. Now I look at anybody that I know that fits that description and I wonder if they're doing child porn, you know? And here's another misconception, Sonny. If you're downloading child porn, you are almost certainly actively molesting children too, because you can't get access to those files to download unless you give something. That's how the network works. So you got to produce your own child porn. You offer it up. Then you get invited into these groups, and then you get to share the child porn. And the thing is, they all want new. Everybody wants the newest, latest stuff. So there's no way that somebody, you know, is just doing this and not actually molesting children. So that's number one. The other thing is, some people will try to argue it's a victimless crime. Let's say you've got a guy who's not yet gone, crossed over, and isn't yet molesting children, which I think is very rare because you have to have images to share. And you can't get those unless you produce them yourself. So even if you yet haven't produced those, you are downloading and purchasing and using the supply and demand of somebody else's child. And in this case, it's my child, because I know my child is being raped on a regular basis. I have no idea who else is raping her, what's happening to her, but the only reason that she's been taken from me is so that they can continue to use her as a sex slave, right? So it's not a victimless crime. Somebody's kid out there. And sooner or later, it's going to be your kid. I mean, that's the point of the book. Every child in America is totally vulnerable to this. And sometimes nobody had any idea the kids were being abused until the guy got caught, because somebody in Australia got caught and he had shared an image of himself raping his own six-year-old daughter with the guy in Australia. And so it winds around that he gets caught. But I think it has to do with impunity and power. I think it has to do with a totally broken system of government that's completely corrupt in our country, from the state, local, county, all the way up to the federal system. I think it's our two-party system. I mean, as far as I can tell, both the Democratic and the Republican Party are structures for corruption, and that's about it. You know, I mean, I can go on and on, but it's a crime of opportunity, and these guys know that they, by and large, can get away with it, and by and large, they are.
Well, one lady I like to bring on this show, she's written a book recently, and even Governor Kasich has given her, here in Ohio, an acknowledgement award. Her name's Teresa Flores. I believe she wrote a book called The Slave Down the Street. And basically it says, you'd be surprised how many girls in your own neighborhoods are basically turned into sex slaves. And they've been so conditioned to not disclose it and hide it, almost in kind of like a Stockholm Syndrome type of situation. And then recently I come across when Mark Dice is doing the report on Bruno Mars' Illuminati-influenced halftime show during Super Bowl, I was watching the video, and he was showing an article that said, well, there's a lot of other things going on at the Super Bowl, not just the game. And he's talking about the prostitution that's going on around the game itself. And he showed an article, and I typed in the title of the article because he kept scrolling through it so fast on the video. I typed the title in and read it myself. And then it was talking about these young girls, especially when they on the way to college or whatever. They featured clips from this new documentary called Tricked, where it was talking about these girls are basically coerced into prostitution. And the one girl featured in the thing, she did it for 10 years. And she said, yep, basically was told that if you don't do this, you're going to die. And she was talking about how she'd have to basically do sex acts for, like, you had to do at least 23 to 40 guys in a night. And
yep.
She mentioned in one particular scenario, it was her and another girl basically at a Super Bowl a few years back, and they were literally lined up like she was doing vaginal and the other girl was doing oral. And it was just one guy after another, and it's just surprisingly enough, she finally got out of it. She married a police officer, and she's got two kids. And says she doesn't enjoy sex at all. I mean, even to have sex with her husband, it's like it's almost a nightmare. And they've got two kids together, but she's speaking out in this video, and she was talking about how easy it is. Of course, these young girls who are so naive going to college, and so if you get these girls fresh out of high school who can't find their ass in two hands, imagine the slave down the street like Teresa Flores has talked about, where she's junior high and high school, and you know, either there's hushed tones about what this girl down the block does, or she's in a little private network where they basically have two or three guys, you know, doing whatever they want during a football game at their house in the basement.
Right. And here's the thing. For instance, my daughter, when you start raping a child at two, right? And she's been now, they cut off all contact with the only parent who cared and loved her and protected her, right? So now they've brainwashed her. They have total control over her. She's seven. She's been raped and sexually abused since she was two. She knows no other life, right? You understand? I mean, so that's what happens. Then these children become teenagers. Then they become adult prostitutes if they live that long, because child porn snuff is a huge, huge thing too. I mean, there is a, here's another cop. I mean, that's the other thing. People think child porn snuff some crazy conspiracy thing. I mean, it's unbelievable how often it's coming up. This was a cop in California, 38 years old. The online chats were in the criminal complaint. He'd been talking with another guy, and this is the chat. Every time I talk someone into rape, I always get a bit sad when they're not into this. The California cop responds, oh, no, I'm into it big time. Another chat session, the California cop discusses how he can find a child to rape, torture, and kill for child porn snuff production. So the guy he was chatting with was using this screen name Z-18, wrote, I know, it can't happen here. It's got to be someplace else with a kid that we can buy or something. We definitely will get caught if we do it here, meaning America. The California cop says, yeah, Cambodia, Thailand, Mexico, deep, deep Mexico, right? They're trying to find a child that they're going to torture, rape, and then kill. And that's how these guys are getting sexual pleasure. And this is a cop, right? The thing. And when you talk about the girls, there is some recognition now more and more about young preteen girls who are being trafficked. Like Holly Smith, just similar to what you're saying about Teresa Flores, just came out with a fantastic book called Walking Prey. I don't know if you've seen it. I highly recommend buying it. I just bought it. And she was 14, and she talks about how she got trafficked into this and what had happened to her. But nobody's talking about 1 and 2 and 3-year-old babies. you know, 4 and 5 year old. You need the parents involved, and you need child protection involved to get access to 2 and 3 and 4 year old children to rape on a regular basis. Here's the deal. Anybody can get their hands on a 10, 11, 12 year old kid, girl or boy. You can get them after school. You can go to the Boys and Girls Club. You can get them off the street. Under threes are platinum in this market, and they grow up quickly. So that's what people just, and when I start to talk about this to most people, they just say, I don't want to hear it. And that's what pedophiles count on. Pedophiles count on us saying, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the rape of a one-year-old kid. Well, let me tell you, I didn't want to hear about it either. I was completely clueless that this is something that was even on anybody's radar. And that's how my kid ended up being taken from me and raped, right, and trafficked. So I think we've all got to start to educate ourselves and start to have this conversation, because the pedophiles count on our silence. Here's another guy. I mean, this is staggering on the national security level. Army colonel, right? He was a war game developer at the Army War College, 55-year-old Colonel Robert Joel Rice. In this case, his wife, thank God, she wasn't complicit with him. He was addicted to porn, she said, ever since the first week of their marriage. She knew he had a adult porn addiction. She started to become suspicious that he had gone over into child porn, which is very typical. So she put some spyware on his home computer, and then she immediately went to Florida. And she comes back, and she took the computer, and she gave it to the police, and that was that. He had more than 30,000 images of child rape and child sexual abuse, right?
Wow.
I mean, right. He was a colonel at the Army War College, and if his wife hadn't been smart enough to figure that out, they never would have caught the guy, you know?
Mm.
That's what's staggering. So,
well, I know what's also going on, too. I know somebody I went to high school with, a friend of a friend. She apparently had been molested early on to the point where she was conditioned to actually enjoy it, and not just enjoy it, but actually kind of ask for it. And, of course, she's had not a very successful life since. But she got started early on, and to the point where she made comments to her girlfriend about, oh, well, you know, I can't wait to get home from school today. It's like, oh, why? You want to finish that project? She's like, oh, no. It's like, I got to go home and fuck Dad, you know, and get him off and all this other shit. I mean, just some crazy shit that goes on and cuts that off. A lot of these girls that are molested early on, they oftentimes wind up in actual porn films because essentially that's the only thing they know.
That's part of why they go after kids, because children only know what you teach them, and you can control children very easily, especially little children, you know? So, and you can condition them. Yep, that's it.
The turnover in Children Protective Services all across the country, very rarely do you find a CPS agency that actually has a long-time person working in that office, because oftentimes, especially if they're white, they get in there, they start seeing some of these cases, and then they start going, you know, I'm not hit to this. And then they find out what's really going on, and they get the hell out. Now, some of the
this is what's happening in the state of Maine. There's a woman, her name is Cynthia Wellman. She lives in Camden, Maine. Cynthia Wellman, Camden, Maine. She was a child protection caseworker, and she went public in the early 1990s, and she said that she knew that child protection was using foster kids with University of Maine professors at the University of Maine Orono, and that was back before we all had videos on our cell phones. So she said they were using the video equipment at the University of Maine to document and video the rape of the children. And nobody would take her seriously. Nobody would do investigation. She was forced out because she wouldn't shut up about it. So she went and sued the state of Maine. So there's an actual news article in the Bangor Daily News. If you type in Cynthia Wellman, child porn, Bangor Daily News, it pops right up. Judge threw it out because all the judges in Maine are pedophiles, as far as I can tell. And that's it. So like in any other state, if you had a child protection caseworker who was so adamant about what was going on, that child protection was running a pedophile ring with University of Maine professors, there'd be an investigation. Not in the state of Maine. Nothing. The sergeant on my daughter's case, he's a retired sergeant. He's been working my daughter's case for 3 years now. When he first started, and I thought this was just like a bad judge and a bad lawyer, I couldn't see beyond what was happening in my own case 6 years ago. He said to me, you know, when I was an active sergeant, we were told to investigate a child sex ring in Bangor, Maine. And when U.S. Senator Bill Cohen's name came up, we were told to drop it and close the case, and we did. And that's what I keep hearing over and over again. I keep hearing Bill Cohen's name come up over and over again, right? And what is really disturbing is people saying it's an open secret. Well, I'm really tired of these open secrets. I got the phones ringing off the hook now for me since the police chief was caught raping his 4-year-old granddaughter. I'm told that it's a public secret that the former police chief for South Portland, Maine, was raping little boys in the woods for years. Nobody's doing anything about it. Because there's nobody to go to in Maine because there's zero accountability, there's zero oversight, and the media is completely, every time the mainstream media tries to do a story on my daughter's case, they're shut down. We've had stories completely packaged, approved by the New York attorneys. I'm told, don't worry, it's going to run, and then I get a call, sorry, we had to pull it, we can't talk to you again, we can't tell you why, over and over and over again. Because these men don't want to go to jail, they want to keep fucking our little kids. That's the bottom line.
Well, not that, but you mentioned a story about how someone came up from New York, basically abducted a girl and brought her back to New York from a different state, and she just kind of disappeared. Nobody could find her.
The little boy, yeah, David Handler. So, you know, we've got all these, and what they want you to do is they want everybody to individualize the cases. So I'm just a crazy mother, right? I'm this deranged, crazy lunatic whose child had to be taken for her own protection because I'm so crazy, even though I have no history of mental health, you know, no problems, on and on and on. So that's part of the book, too. What I'm trying to do is put all the dots together and say, look what's going on in this country. We got to stop ignoring this. So in Maine, there's been some high-profile cases, and even though there's been high-profile cases, people still aren't connecting the dots, mainly because the media won't connect the dots, and then people just aren't doing it on their own. The handlers, their little boy, they were back in Long Island, and they dropped their child off at first grade, and they came to pick him up, and he was gone. CPS had come down from Maine and taken him, and they haven't seen him since. So, I mean, little boys are being raped and trafficked. It seems as equal numbers as little girls. I mean, especially with the cops, at least, again, I don't have accurate statistics because they're not releasing the data. So all I have is this kind of random sampling of current arrest reports on the media. But a lot of these cops are into little boys, and they're raping little boys. And, I can't imagine what it's like to be 2 and 3 years old and be annually raped by an adult. I mean, it's a horrific, horrific thing to even
call. We know the white slavery that's going on over in like behind the old Iron Curtain areas and in some of the Arab countries and I've seen some movies kind of address this recently. For example, the two Taken movies with Liam Neeson, that's a prime example. What happens if you don't try to get to the girl within like 24 hours, 48 hours, that girl's gone forever. One of the more recent James Bond movies, Daniel Craig addressed a very similar situation. And these guys go and they basically find, and they'll probably pay a primo price for a 19, 20-year-old virgin.
Here's the deal. But that's what, so everybody wants to say it's something that's happening other places, but not in our good country that's a democracy where there's accountability and oversight. And surely in America, if a 2-year-old was confirmed for rape, she'd be protected, right? That's what we all want to keep believing. And it's total fucking bullshit. America is the largest producer of child porn in the entire world. The half of the servers, this is documented in police reports, half of the servers that are hosting child porn distribution sites are located in this country. And our government could shut those servers down right now, today, if they wanted to. And our government is choosing to leave them open. It's not some Liam Neeson movie or some Arab country or Cambodia or Russia. It's happening in this country. They're having those auctions in this country. This country is the worst in the world for child sex abuse. which is what child porn is. The worst. England, Ireland, Australia, they're all actually, the citizens have kind of in the last year uprised against this. And if you are on, if you type in child porn arrests onto a Twitter search or Google, you'll see that in England and Australia, they're actually making progress because everybody's come out and said, no way, this isn't going to happen anymore. David Cameron in 10 Downing Street, his deputy policy director, just got arrested for child porn. I mean, I'm sure there are White House staff who are doing child porn. I'd like to see the day that one of them actually gets arrested for doing it. I am certain that up on Capitol Hill, if anybody pulled a search warrant on the IPs, that there's tons of child porn being downloaded on Capitol Hill by staffers, by senators, congressmen. In England, the Huffington Post pulled an IP under the Freedom of Information Act on Westminster, their House of Parliament, and it showed everything that they were downloading. We can't get that done in this country. And that's what's so disturbing.
Jimmy Savile has been busted for doing that stuff for years.
Exactly, But there's still, the thing is, in England they have a tabloid press, so they actually still have free media there. You know, in our country, the entire media is controlled by three corporations now, right? I mean, that's it.
Which is run by six Jewish families.
Well, I don't know. I don't know their ethnicity, but I know three corporations control the entire country. I mean, it's got to, the thing about child sex abuse is it's got to stop. And it's largely white men who are doing it, professional, powerful white men, raping, anally, bondage, masks over their faces, tying them to ceilings over and over again. This is brutal torture. This is Abu Ghraib stuff. They're tying a 10-year-old girl to a ceiling, putting a black ski mask over her and raping her. That's not a one-off deal. That's happening to that kid every single fucking day. That's happening in this country, and that's not front page media in this country, right?
Right. Well, we just saw in Iraq, they basically just passed a law essentially makes rape legal.
Right.
So, I mean, where are the feminists, instead of bitching about saying the word bossy, where are they saying, hey, wait a minute, we're supposed to just liberate your damn country, we're supposed to make it a quote-unquote democracy, and one of the first things you pass is basically having pro-rape laws? I mean, what kind of horse shit is that? I mean, that should just confirm.
Well, honey, I'd like to take it back to America, because what I'm concerned about is that I'm a U.S. citizen in a country that's supposed to be a democracy. I've paid my dues, I pay my taxes, I'm a law-abiding citizen. My child was raped. She was substantiated for rape, and then she was taken from me by the family courts and child protection. That's this country. I don't want to talk about Iraq. I want to talk about America. What the hell is happening in this country when that kind of shit is possible? And that's what the book is about. We have become a nation of child porn. It's child porn nation, and that's what people need to wake up to. Your question about where the feminists, that's exactly what I want to know. Where are all my colleagues in Washington, D.C., that for years I marched with, I sat side by side with, I was part of their community, and we were all over the world talking about women's rights in places like Iraq or Afghanistan, and I go to them and I say, this is what's happening to me in this country, I need help, and every single one of them turned their back on me. Where are the feminists in America for the children who are being raped in this child porn production? Where are the feminists in Washington, D.C. yelling and screaming that an Army colonel has 30,000 images of child rape on his computer? They're totally silent. They're totally silent. The liberal feminist women's movement has failed on this issue enormously.
So before we get to the top of the hour, what do you recommend as some solutions to try to not only expose this issue but try to get it corrected?
Well, first place, thank you very much for having me on. I mean, it's people like you who are courageous enough to actually talk about the topic. That's what's so important, because as I said earlier, most people, the minute I even tell them what I'm working on for the book, they go, I don't want to know, don't tell me. So you need to know, because it's going to happen to your kid.
You replied to one of my tweets about something, and then you said, well, what do you think about this story? What do you think about that story? I'm just like, wow, is that your main thing that you cover on that Twitter? And you're like, well, yeah. And then I started looking at some of the stories, and I said, I mean, I've heard stuff going out there, and I mean, I've just briefly kind of looked into it myself occasionally, especially when it's someone of, supposed to be of high repute. But like you're pointing out, you got a lot of power players that are getting into this stuff, especially cops. They're supposed to be our protectors, not our predators.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm really grateful to you for having me on the show, and that we just need more of that. We need more people sitting up and going, holy shit, what is going on in this country? It's not just this little story, oh, yeah, I heard that there was this one cop who did it last year. That's usually what people will say. No, I mean, look at what's happening. Wake up, because it's going to happen to your kid, right? So I think there's this huge cognitive denial that doesn't happen in this country, that we're still a democracy, that our systems aren't corrupt, that there's accountability and oversight, and that if that did happen, it would be stopped. And it's not. One of the things the Tea Party would be, be great for you guys to focus on is, why is the U.S. government allowing half of the servers in the world that are distributing child porn to continue to operate? They're based in this country. We could shut them down tomorrow. Why are we allowing them? Why? You know, there's a lot of very simple advocacy things that could be done. Nobody's willing to do it. And the whole anti-trafficking community, like Polaris and Shared Hope and these groups, they all get federal money. It's all bullshit. They're doing advocacy and awareness raising. None of them will actually take a step to stop this shit, right? It's all total bullshit. It's a cover to make it look like things are being done and not. I went to one of these Stop Modern Trafficking Slavery groups here in D.C. I said, simple thing we can do. Let's get a lawyer to pull a FOIA on the IP addresses on Capitol Hill. I want to know how many senators and congressmen are downloading the anal rape of a 2-year-old while they're on our tax dime, on our government computers. It's a simple thing. You know, you start arresting some of these high-level guys, the shit might stop.
Definitely is a very troubling issue, but like I said, you're starting to see Hollywood films are at least starting to address this. I mean, that was the whole thing about the girl that disappeared down in Aruba, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, her name, Greta Van Susteren. Besides the disappearance of the guy off the cruise ship, which she basically babbled on that for about almost 6 months, when the Aruba thing came up, you know, I mean, that should have been like the tip of the iceberg. Like, if this would happen to an of-age young woman, imagine what's going on to these children. Nobody wants to talk about or admit might be happening. I mean, like, or even Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, he did a film back in 1997 or 99 called Strangelands, where his character that he had written about on the Stay Hungry album, Captain Howdy, was doing all these weird, sick torture things to these kids. I mean, not obviously necessarily sexually, but just medieval torture tactics to these kids and stuff. And the tortured minds and the mangled lives that they had to deal with, and the guy gets off on a technicality. So, I mean, it's just like, it's a very scary thought, because that's very much a real possible scenario, and it happens every day. I mean, obviously, you're writing a book about all the stuff that you're discovering. Teresa Flores has been a victim of this. I hope more people that have been victimized, especially by church leaders, come out and start exposing this stuff, because we're supposed to trust the church. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that they're supposed to be our community leaders that turn out their community sodomizers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the church, and it's all denominations, too. I mean, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, I mean, across the board. It's basically, as I said, any man in a position of power, I now look at and I wonder if he cultivated that position of power in order to be able to rape children and get away with it. That's how bad it is. That's how pervasive it is.
So lastly, before we go, Lori, what websites do you recommend? Like, obviously, your Twitter is at Lori Handrahan and number 2 to follow your day-to-day discoveries of what's going on with these 6 bucks. But what websites do you have or do you recommend that people check out or follow you on?
Well, that's a great question, Sunny. I don't get on the web. I mean, I'm really big on Twitter, and I guess I would just say, if people follow me, I can introduce them. There's a core group of amazing child rights advocates, and we're all kind of supporting each other on Twitter. There's a guy in Australia named Peter Fox, who's a detective, and he, 2 years ago, he just stood up at a community meeting, and he said, I'm sick and tired of being part of the cover-up. And we all know that the cops are involved in covering up the rape of small children by the Catholic Church, and I'm not going to be part of it anymore. And he wrote an op-ed in his local paper, and within weeks, maybe even like days, he got a federal, you know, they call it a royal commission in Australia, but the prime minister opened a royal commission to investigate the sex trafficking of small children in, you know, into rape by the Catholic Church and the cover-up by the police. So, you know, he was a very brave man to do that, and the cops went after him, his own colleagues. The first thing they always do is, oh, you're mentally ill, right? That, I mean, it's like so ridiculous. I'm like, you guys got to come up with something better than this, you know? So they tried to say he was mentally ill, and, you know. Anyway, he blew it open in Australia, and he's a huge hero. There's a guy in the UK, he's a member of parliament, his name is Tom Watson, and he's on Twitter. And he also dropped in parliamentary question time. He said, I want to know why the sex trafficking of small children all the way up to Westminster and 10 Downing Street was covered up. So,
great. Thank you. Great place to come now, Lori. Call her on Twitter, Lori, Instagram, and number two. And definitely recommend that you read the legal opportunity so you guys can see what's going on out there. So thank you very much for coming on today, Lori.
God bless you, Sonny. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very grateful.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll pay some bills here. But up next, having a Vietnam Forum founder, Alex Linder, and stay off the third the third hour, because we're going to cover a lot of details that's going on with the Ranger situation there in Nevada and many of those things that's happened up here to InfoWars. The New World Order for what it is, but to put away our freedoms and destroy our nation and our state sovereignty. And stick around for that. Go to my website, sunnythomas.com. Remember, teaparty.com.org, cfccohio.org, and my music website, thehmd.com. So after this, coming up with Alex Linder from VNN Forum.
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
All systems go!
Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio proudly present the Friday Night Super Show. Hosted by Dennis Ford from the Friday Night Show on NWO Truth Radio and The Mouth from The Last Voice for Liberty. Broadcasting live across dual networks for a cross-promotional show of epic proportion. Tune in live Friday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For the most groundbreaking show on the web, the Friday Night Super Show, presented by Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio. You are awake. Now, be aware.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to fight for the pie.
So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
We are Americans.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Feinstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
A disarmed nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed? This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rule. That's what true democracy is, it's mob rules.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you gotta be careful of who you listen to and whose input you take, and it's all fun and games.
The one and only original Gorilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to uphold gangster banksters and a bunch of tyrannous political puppets.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
It's a House of Blues break.
Hey, sometimes it's a whole lot easier listening to the blues than attempting to try to define it. According to blues guitarist Eric Girardi, the blues means so much to so many different people that it's just hard to define exactly what it is that makes this music so appealing.
But some people, it has such a profound effect. I really don't know, but all I know is the first time my dad threw me on my bed and made me listen to Jimmy Reed, and he scratched my Ozzy Osbourne record in the process and said, "Son, time we had a talk. Listen to this." It had a profound effect on me, and I just, whenever I picked up a guitar, that's what would come out. I'd be playing Baby What You Want Me to Do no matter what I wanted to play. It just kept coming out. So let's just not question it, and let's just be happy that it's there, I suppose.
Long a winding path, Teutonic.
Hey, I'm here if you're ready.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the Sonny Thomas Show here on Truth Emerges Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. Again, my websites are sonnythomas.com, springboroteaparty.com.org, cfccohio.org, and my music website, thehmb.com, thehmb.com. Okay, I had some technical issues I was trying to figure out here, and I need to really defrag my comp really bad, so I'm having some issues. But just real quick before I bring on Alex Linder on, that was, again, Lori Handrahan, who's coming out of the book Child Porn Nation, trying to expose some of the sickness going on with not only our people that we are supposed to respect in this community, such as law enforcement officials, attorneys, judges, priests, military officials, you name it. There's just some sick fucks out there who like messing with little kids. And we always hear stories and situations where everyone says, if someone were to mess with my kid, man, the survival instinct mode would just kick in. I mean, even the TSA. We're hearing stories where the TSA are doing some, I mean, bad enough to check in diapers to see if there's explosives in it. Well, you got put in a damn diaper, plastic. I mean, this is the type of sick shit that's going on out there. And getting this condition for a police state that's actually obviously on its way, especially if there's going to be any type of economic collapse in this country. So that's a situation in of itself. That's to make everybody sick and just revolting. So real quick, before I bring my guest on, just to give you a backtrack of the music we played so far tonight. We played Edge of My Mind from Brothers in Arms Band. Go to brothersinarmsband.com, Dayton local area band. And we also closed out the end of the set with Lori Handrahan with us, a cover of Swallowtail from fintanband.com, which is a local traditional Irish Celtic band. And we just also started off this set with Battle Cry, Blood and Honor, from their album Blood and Honor. So definitely look out. I don't have the CD in front of me for the web address, but you can go on tightrope.cc and you can purchase copies of that. So it's definitely a pretty solid album. The singer sounds a lot like Ryan James Dio, so that's always a pretty interesting thing. So next I'm bringing on Alex Linder. He is the founder of Vanguard News Network at VNN Forum, and you can follow him on Twitter at AlexLinder5. You can also follow at VNN Forum, and there's a lot of really good information there from different contributors all across that particular message board. So very good stuff there. You want to get some insight on not only on how they're trying to divide us racially, but at the same time, the selective enforcement that goes on, especially against, they seem to think that whites have this white privilege. Well, if they got this white privilege, how do I cash in on this stuff? Because I don't see it. I've been a victim of affirmative action. I've gotten turned down for jobs just because I wasn't a certain color to fit their color quotient. And this is not acceptable. I mean, me personally, if I have two applicants that are going to go for a job and Terry's got more of an education or better skills than Tyrone, I should be able to hire Terry and not fear legal repercussion because I didn't hire Tyrone. So that's just complete horseshit. But I'm going to let Alex Linder tell us some thoughts on what he thinks is going on in this country and all the other shenanigans that's happened. So, Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Well, thanks for having me on, Sonny. I listened to the last hour. That's pretty harrowing stuff.
Oh, yeah, she went into a lot of detail what's all going on. Especially with regards to law enforcement, because these are supposed to be our protectors, not our predators. And then when you try to expose it, whether it's actually happened to a family member or just someone you know in the community, you are to be demonized and considered a pariah for even trying to bring it up. And that's one of the issues that we're having now is that nobody is willing to step up because of the repercussions, which is almost standard COINTELPRO tactics that they're using these days. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't really trust any form of government myself. I can tell you from my limited experience, the town I live in is a 17,000 town in Missouri. And the local I don't know what they call it, but the local kid thing. First of all, anybody can call in an anonymous complaint and say, like, your neighbor is abusing their kid or whatever, and they will send out a child protective service on purely anonymous things. And I think that in this country, we've seen such a huge amount of cowardice that people have just enough courage to report things on their neighbor that aren't even true. But that CPS stuff is just bad news. And in my one, you know, just random test town here in Missouri that I've had not really any dealings with, but just knowing about it, the guy who led it was busted and ended up losing a court case for $800,000 for seizing a whole bunch of, he made up a bogus warrant. He swore out a bogus warrant and arrested a whole bunch of kids from a Christian Heartland Academy. And they ended up suing him, and he was found guilty. He had to pay a whole bunch of money, and nothing happened to him. He got booted upstairs, essentially. He basically got promoted. So I would believe just about anything about those people. And like I said, you know, you have it. Say, here's another example. I'm not going to say this is from my own life or not, but say you would rather have a midwife, which is illegal in Missouri and other states, instead of giving birth in a hospital. Well, any doctor can simply call in and say that you're, you know, they suspect something bad is going on and have you checked out if you end up actually having your kid in the hospital, and they send some little chicky poo who's never had a kid, or else some butch lesbian who God only knows what they're up to, and, you know, fill out a form, and they get to decide if you get to keep your kid. This is the country we live in. It's a pretty horrible place, really, anymore, I would say. It's somewhere you got to work damn hard to stay out of the eyesight of the monster beast that is D.C. and all these little satraps out in the boonies. And, yeah, but, I mean, I would believe almost anything bad that you'd say about cops, because all they do is spend huge amounts of money trying to bust people for crimes without a criminal, like selling drugs. And I want to say, you know, I read on your website, and it looks like you have the same view I do. I don't like drugs. I don't like prescription drugs, let alone illegal drugs. But I'm also not someone who likes to boss other people around, and I don't like being bossed around. So I say, just, you know, we don't need these bastards. And that's all they do is they bust. Here's another example of how cops can abuse their authority. They say there's an anonymous tip. Say I don't like my neighbor. I'm like, all right, I'm going to call into the cops and say that he's selling pot or something. They come in there and bust into the house and bust it up and don't find anything. And then I have a good laugh, and then the landlord's all pissed, because if they have a warrant based on probable cause, they don't have to pay for the property damage they do. Again, I've seen that in real life. I've had people who are running places complain to me about exactly that thing. And this is the country we live in. You know, it's not really a country for a free and responsible adult. It's like we're slaves who, my gosh, I saw a graphic today I posted on my forum, vnnforum.com, and, you know, it was showing taxes. We spend more on taxes than we do for our basic necessities. Now, that's just flat slavery. And like I've written many times, people don't understand, like, a lot of the problem that we have in this country is due to the fact that back in my grandparents' age, our grandparents' age, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 47. My grandfather bought about 10 acres for about $12,000 back in, I don't know, probably late 20s, raised four kids. He never had more than a low-level type job, you know, but you could do it. You could do that back then. But now the invisible person at our table, which is probably two or three people, is all these taxes we have to pay to support these other people, and it destroys these families. It creates an incredible amount of stress, because what leads people to get divorced is money as much as anything, as much as any other problem. And it's because they have to work all the time, because half their money, instead of the woman being an actual mother or the father being able to come home at a reasonable hour, is spent to work to raise taxes to pay for the government. So that all these people, you know, half of whom are friggin' pedophiles, as we heard last hour, can live high off the hog. It's utterly ridiculous. So I'm anti-government completely. But I will say one thing about your earlier guest. She is flat wrong about blacks and child abuse. And I don't know if that's a marketing angle on her part, but I guarantee you blacks abuse kids at a higher rate than whites. And two things that everybody believes are true, because the Jew media promotes them, that are scientifically not true. One, blacks having larger penises than whites. They actually have the same, and whites have slightly larger penises on average. Just saying that because everybody thinks the opposite is true. Second thing is that whites are most serial killers. Not true. Blacks serial kill at a slightly higher rate than whites. There's not such a huge disparity as there is with every other crime, like basic murder. But, yeah, those are two things that everybody thinks true. It's the same with child molesting. I've got, as she was talking, I dug up an article from Forbes that says 60% of black girls have experienced sexual abuse before the age of 18. It's less for whites. It's considerably less. And when you think about the people who are pimping like teenage girls, that's blacks far more than whites. I'm not denying there's a huge problem among whites, too, and I can very well believe it's among these feds, because what's a better? It's like being a Cub Scout master or a public school teacher. You're in perfect position to abuse your authority. And I've got a threat in my forum to move on. I've got a threat in my forum of female teachers in public schools. I think public schools are just ritual child abuse. They're socially – Kurt Vonnegut said smoking is a socially acceptable form of suicide. Of course, he said that in the 70s. It's not socially acceptable now, but public schools are a socially acceptable form of ritual child abuse, as it is. And I went to one for your mind – but half the time for your body, you've even got not even male teachers, female teachers are going after young men. And people, oh, that's so funny. Oh, I wish that happened to me. Hey, I'm speaking for myself. I wasn't mature enough to be molested by some teacher when I was a kid. I was pretty shy and nervous. And, you know, I didn't. I mean, these broads who are not at all ugly or fat, as you might think, are molesting boys in these public schools, let alone the male teachers that are molesting people. And it's just. The government's basically got to be burned down and shuttered, pretty much. I mean, the thing is, it's so gigantic that you don't even know where you'd start to try to take it on, you know?
Yeah, we're looking at one teacher.
Sorry, man, I tend to go on rants, and I go on a rant for an hour on any one of these headers, but I assure you blacks are not molesting children at rates less or even equal to whites. I assure you of that. Now, particular slice she's talking about of people in power, there might be more whites in those positions, and that's why. But I guarantee you look at even sexual abuse in the Army, there's not less blacks doing that than whites by any means. And on the street, it's definitely a much higher rate among blacks. So like I said, 60 more than one out of two blacks is sexually molested. Black females are sexually molested before 18. Right there. That's much higher than the white rate.
Yeah, and Oprah was molested too. She talks about that often.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you ever heard the joke? That's where the term motherfucker comes from. The idea that whites have this idea, this is one thing that actually is wrong with whites. They think what are white-specific standards, and the left is helping us here, are actually, they think they're universal standards because of Christianity and the way they're raised. They think that, like, white middle-class standards are the universal norm, and everybody else is just departing from them, but blacks aren't like us. They're a different species, basically. That's what they were called before the idea of race was even invented. They were considered a different species. Just the way different breeds of dogs are, even though they can intermate, they can interbreed, are considered different species. And I don't know how far you go down this line, but this is the kind of stuff we talk about openly at VNN Forum. And I know you're more constitutionalist from reading your page and conservative, but you can't expect, and oftentimes you'll see blacks even express this themselves, the white liberal who thinks he's helping the blacks, the black will say, look, you don't even understand. We don't want to be like you. And that's the planted axiom, as William F. Buckley always used to say. The planted axiom is that all these blacks really want to be white liberals or white middle class. They don't want to be white. They don't think whites are cool or something they want to be like with or emulate. They may want certain things that whites provide, but most of the time they don't even understand that those things are produced by whites. Blacks believe, and they've polled on this, that the only reason they're not living like the people they see on TV is because government is oppressing them. Government can make them all millionaires and rich, happy, you know, Baywatch-type people if it wanted, but it chooses not to for reasons of racism. Now, as you started off saying, you and I know that factually the federal government has discriminated against whites for decades. And passed all kinds of laws. I just got done writing a review of, I write a lot of book reviews. I wrote a review of Pat Buchanan, two very long parts, and he goes into the way that courts have been used to create a social revolution against the law, starting with Brown versus Board of Education back in 1954 and becoming emboldened when there wasn't enough resistance. And really, I'll leave that aside, but the point is, when you talk to lefties, racism, right? Blacks can't be racist because racism is not just prejudice. Blacks or other minorities can be prejudiced, but they can't be racist, because racist means prejudice plus institutional power. Say, okay, even if I accepted that ridiculous, utterly ridiculous definition, how do blacks not have institutional power when the law is overtly discriminated against whites? So even on their own terms, they're not honest. But
yeah, I've seen it directly too. A good friend of mine, his niece, she bragged about the fact that she was at least able to complete high school before she got pregnant, unlike her mother. But obviously it was time for her to move out because she's already 18 and everything else. So her and her mom got in an argument, so she ended up going to my buddy's house and staying with him. And said, all right, cool, I don't mind you staying here. You know, your family, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I've got a family to raise myself, and I have certain rules. As long as you don't bring your riffraff over here, I'm cool with that, you know. Well, she can go out and party and stuff, come back late at night. She's very quiet coming back in. But she ended up going out and messing with a few guys. One was black, and what a shocker. She gets pregnant. And then after she has the baby, she tries to get welfare. And they literally told her to her face, they're like, oh, you're a pretty white girl. You don't need to get any type of welfare. You can take care of yourself. Essentially, she said she had white privilege, and since she was attractive, it was even more of a underscore. She's like, well, wait a minute, I've got essentially a mulatto kid. Oh, you didn't tell us that you had a mixed kid. Well, guess what? We can give you vouchers. We can give you educational benefits. I mean, they threw everything with the kitchen sink at her on entitlements that she could get, because now she's not not a recipient per se. She has now become a statistic. So that's really disturbing, because of the fact that there's a lot of single moms out there just said, hey, I could use just a slight leg up, as opposed to a handout, you know. And when Clinton reformed welfare, you could be on welfare for 2 years. Now Obama's rescinding all that shit. So it's like you're giving them no incentive to want to get out of poverty. And what if they do like what Jim Trafkin says? What if they raise the poverty index to 35 grand? Most of the lower middle class is going to be considered lower class poverty. What incentives are going to be wanting to get off your ass and want to do something with your life?
Well, I can tell you, I live in a lower middle class economic area, and I can tell you that it may be, I hear they're cutting welfare, they're doing this, they're doing that. I can tell you I've seen multiple people who are paid SSI to do nothing but be ex-alkies or ex-junkies and sit around listening to music literally 24 hours a day. There's all kinds of people like that. And I'm not talking about black people either. I'm talking about that welfare system will turn a hell of a lot of whites into niggers, basically. And I mean, the fact that... The fact is the government is rolling its own, is the way I think of it. They are creating the kind of people who need them. So that America has gone from being a self-reliant country where, you know, just leave me alone. And this is the part I don't like about the constitutionalist stuff. It was always a white country, and the white is inseparable from America's greatness. You know, yeah, you could bring some people from Germany. Aren't that different from people from the British Isles, as it proved? But they are a little different. They are somewhat different. But you know, you start bringing people from the four corners of the earth, you're going to have a mess like we have now. And then, you know, you turn it into a social democratic welfare state. And it becomes pretty pretty onerous and pretty constricting. And there's just plain too many people around, I think. I think when you leave,
they closed Ellis Island. They have no type of quarantine. Like, I mean, for example, in The Godfather Part 2, they show basically because he was sick, he had to stay there for 6 months. And he had to speak a certain amount of English to even be able to get into the country. And then...
A very good point. If you're a German or you're an Italian and you're coming here, you have at least a bit... Look, these people already have created a culture. I'll give an example. I've lived in a lot of different places. I lived in Utah. The Mormons are the dominant. Even where we lived in Salt Lake, Mormons still about 50% of Salt Lake, and they're higher percentages the rest of the state. It's probably gone down some now because there's a lot of Mexicans there, like everywhere in the West. But they've created a culture, and you don't want to mess up their culture. Presuming if it's that bad, don't go in there in the first. If you're coming over here from the continent, understand they have a culture and try to assimilate into it. Understand what, and that's what the Europeans basically did. Sure, retain your ethnic ways, but also understand there's something existing here you want to contribute to, and, you know, maybe keep your mouth shut for a few years and learn things and come along, and then you'll fit in. That's how assimilation actually works and is valuable. And if it's that bad and onerous and terrible and you don't like it, you don't come here from some other, oh, you're racist. But that is what. Now this is the part my kind will get into. The Jews came here, and were calling us racists and nativists from day one. And they tried and tried and tried, and they were, you should read the 1924 congressional debates over changing the immigration policy. At that point, it was based on the United States is primarily a Northwestern European descended country. That's our stock. That's our culture. We like it that way. And the Jews darn near in 1924 had enough political power to flip it over, but they hadn't quite had enough time to buy up all the media and get into the school textbooks and buy off the politicians to be able to get it overturned. But they kept at it. And finally, 40 years later in 65, they got it. And that's when immigration flipped from 90% from European countries, you know, and mostly from northern ones, to third world places. And, of course, that's not even mentioning that they don't really control the border. So there's umpteen number of million people here, brown and black, from all over the place. And you know, it's like you say about disease. Well, now it's not some guy from Italy showing up over there with maybe tuberculosis. There was one of these Africans showed up in Minnesota the other day. You know, there's an Ebola outbreak in Africa right now. Well, one of these Africans, the State Department lets in probably up in Minnesota, had one of the Ebola-related disease. I don't know what it was. I can't get into the technics of it, but that's the kind of problem you have. You have the State Department bringing in these refugees, sticking them in Salt Lake and 300 other mostly white communities up in Maine, wherever, to try to deliberately try to destroy remaining pockets of whiteness. And see, this is the thing. I see constitutionalists and Christians are kind of the same in terms of the hubris of thinking that one size fits all. That, oh, what we discovered in here, we're so exceptional, we're so unusual, we're so world-beating, everybody should be like us. Even if you're not neocon, and I know you're anti the war just the way we are. We call them Jews wars from day one. Look, one size doesn't fit all. Whites, we are different from other people, and you can't assume you can just bring anyone here and turn them into an American. And these people, actually, the left actually knows that, and they are deliberately trying to destroy whites by importing non-whites and sticking them in the whitest areas they can find. And the churches are some of the main ones helping these ideological – the Jews do it for ideological reasons. They don't ever want any kind of a white race-conscious collective to rise again. And that's another way of describing National Socialism. The Germans, as they're ahead of us in automotive technology, were ahead of us in Jew control social engineering. They figured out, like, hey, these guys are attacking Germany and white European man as a collective team. They seized control of Russia. They murdered tens of millions of people. They're going to do the same thing here in Germany. And they say, how could such an educated, civilized nation like that turn into... No. The proof that they are educated and civilized, they figured out how to respond to the Jew. You see, that question turns on itself. Say, they figured that out because they're a little more collective than people from Britain, and they're a little more kinship-based family type of a nation. And they figured out what the Jews were doing and how to confront them. Their politics over there is a little more, let's divide and fight, and a little more, let's be glad-handing politicians type, like you always get from the Anglos. Because in Britain, it's just much more grin and lie and backhand. And we have that culture here, which is not really that great of a culture. Over there, it's less personality and more principle-driven. And so they figured out what the Jews were up to. It's the same thing in the U.S. now. All these Jews, which on Hitler's real curse is he kicked all these jerks out. When they got into power, they busted like the Hirschfeld Institute for Social Science Research, or basically it was a homosexual academic front. He kicked them all out. They came over to the U.S. and they refounded all this stuff. And this is what's behind. It's called the Frankfurt School that's basically resulted in sort of the hypersexualization of U.S. Yes. culture, because the Jew academics believe, and you, I'm sure you know this, you've come across this, and see, the conservatives will write about this, but they'll always cut out the Jew part, because it's always safe to blame Germans, so they'll call them, they're all a bunch of goddamn Jews, all these academics at the Frankfurt School, and they're like, the way we get rid of anti-Semitism in the societies, we make it sexually loose. If they're playing with themselves, they won't come after the Heimies, you know, and that really is how they think about it. That explains why everything, it's not just the pornography, which is, I won't even say underground because it has billions of views if you look at it. Those things are getting billions of views compared to, like, political stuff. But the puerilization, the juvenilization, all the sex jokes, the dreck, you know, Yiddish from German word just for dirt, the smuttiness of sitcoms, that is worse than the overt pornography in terms of it gets everyone in that mindset of always talking about masturbation, always talking about sexual stuff through all. We didn't used to be like that. That's not the white way. The white way is, yeah, sex is part of life. It has its time and place, but it doesn't obsess every waking thought. And I say this as an utter anti-Christian. I despise Christianity. But this is true. It's just inherently Aryan. It's not Aryan to talk about sex all the time and be obsessed with it and be puerile and grown men who are acting like they're teenagers. Even teenagers never acted like teenagers are supposed to act today. Oh, you know, they're full of hormones. They're always going to do this. No, they're not. Teenagers are capable of doing basically anything that a mature adult can do, and with a lot more energy. And that's how it used to be. People just became adults at much younger ages. There wasn't even a teenage generation. That in itself is part of the class on class that they manufacture. They manufacture these classes so they can set them at odds. And a lot of what Nazism is really was a way of reconciling classes within Germany to say, look, whether you work with your hands or your head, we're on the same team. And we're going to see that everybody gets some of the pie. And I don't agree with the Nazi. I'm not a Nazi. I don't agree with the socialism. I'm probably like you celebrate your Scottish roots. I'm an American independent, as they call them around here, or shit crickers or ferals. You know, leave me the fuck alone. I can handle, you know, what I'm doing. That Scotch Irish stuff. I got some of that blood too, and I got that attitude. Plus, I think I got the best of both because I got the German organization plus that don't tread on me mentality. But my German side didn't come over here, you know, after 48 as a bunch of big state socialists. And these are the type who you find up in Minnesota, you know, like the woman wearing the hijab, celebrating Muslim. These are the type who are public school teachers and civil bureaucrats, because that's the way it was in Germany. But I like the American way better. And even my German one was over here before the war and fought in the revolution, as well as my English ancestors. And they were kind of Puritan assholes. I like to claim, for politics, people tend to claim they're descended from every different group. It's kind of a funny thing, but you're always free. Even if you're Italian or you're Slovakian, you can embrace whatever spirit you like and carry on whatever tradition you choose to. So I'm not totally a conservative traditionalist. No, you make your choice to do what you do. You find something you admire, by God, there's nothing in the world stopping you from emulating it. And I don't like having this huge government. It's just, you know, you got to do this. And I'll never forget one time. You jump in and interrupt me if I'm going on too much. Because I will talk for a lot. Here's the American spirit. One time, okay, I'm with my girlfriend. This is probably 20 years ago. And we go meet her friend and her boyfriend. And this kid who had – Her friend was very good looking, like a cheerleader for some college, and her boyfriend was very good looking. This kid's dream was to like be, what was it, like an agriculture bureaucrat at the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. And like this is now the American dream, to like grow up and work for government and get a government job with good benefits. That is how 180 degrees the spirit of this country is altered from, you know, I don't know, just do it. Do what you want, be good at it, not need help from other people except what you choose to create through private voluntary arrangements. And that mentality is just, man, it's one thing you subsidize ex-junkies, that's bad enough, but then you subsidize this whole class of people, and all you hear in the media is, oh, these school teachers are underpaid. And these are the greatest cheerleaders for the state. If I could say one thing to people, read up on the history of public schooling in the U.S. It's almost more important to know than the history of the U.S. To see the mentality of the people who run the country, it's absolutely the ones to look for. Although they leave the Jewish part out, although that's not part of the story in the first 100 years. It's a non-Jew thing at the start. It's basically a bunch of religious nuts out of Boston realizing they could tax people. Create these common schools under the label, oh, well, we need to give the poor kids an education. Well, okay, that's a limited bad as far as it goes. But then they realize, like, we can force everyone to pay into this, and we can dominate it. We can get them to teach stuff which is what we want to believe, and take the kids away from their parents and train them up in our ideology. You know, and you can see how useful that is to anyone who controls the state. And that's what's been done. And you all, if, and then you own your house, and you got to pay what, like jumping a very high hurdle. You got to pay $10,000-$15,000. If you have like a $500,000 house, you got to pay $10,000-$15,000 a year back east. I mean, I don't know. It's different places. It's not so bad where I am. I mean, it's cheap, and most people have, you know, maybe a $40,000 or $60,000 house. But you have to pay 1 or 2% of the value of your house every year. And it goes into supporting the school that is teaching kids stuff that most parents don't believe. How outrageous. That is Jefferson's definition of tyranny. It's forcing a man to subsidize an opinion that doesn't believe him.
And even if you actually start to homeschool, to actually go and file certain paperwork with the state, so that way they make sure that you're actually homeschooling and not just letting your kid be truant. I mean, I know people that are being investigated for that shit, and they say, "Oh, I'm homeschooling my kid." Really? There's certain paper you got to file. I know damn well you haven't filed that because, one, I'm just finding out about it, and two, you don't even take time to teach your kid flashcards. So how in the hell are you going to homeschool your kid? You know what I mean? They just don't want to be held accountable when the kid comes to school with a bruise on their arm, saying, "Why is the kid bruised?" You know, there's nothing to talk about the mental abuse that may be going on or the lack of loving and caring. It's just like, they're basically just guaranteed that government each month.
But here's how I look at it, though. Let parents want to kill their own kids. I mean, they would just grow up to be the kind of parents who do the same thing. It's kind of like self-limiting. I mean, you have your kid here. Here, I'll give you an example of how crazy people can be. I was raised Christian Science. I didn't believe it, but my brother went to the Christian Science. Their main high school is down in St. Louis called Principia, and while he was there, while they had I think it was measles sweep through, and because they believe in like prayer, one of the girls there actually died from that. Because so that stuff turns out to be pretty self-limiting. And if you get and the thing is, okay, you say, okay, well, we're going to solve this by getting the government involved. Well, then all of a sudden then you have to pay all these taxes. Everybody has to pay the taxes because 1 or 2% of the people are going to abuse their kids or not actually teach them. But then 100% have to pay taxes to support stuff that they don't agree with. And like I said, I mean, plenty of those, even female teachers will prey on their kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's also talk about the fact that, like I was mentioned to my guest before, that actually there are 6 Jewish families that run all in this country. And I often bring the scenario that, don't you think it's a bit concerning that you have one ethnic group that seems to run all this shit? I mean, what if it was all Italian? You know, what if it was a mafia that was running all the media? You guys would be basically screaming antitrust laws and wouldn't have everything broken up, just like when NBC got too big, they had to break it down into 2 networks, NBC and ABC. So we see that type of stuff going on. And then it's like no one wants to talk about that. It's like, they're so afraid of the ADL, or, you know, it's bad enough you got to worry about the NAACP because you hire a black person, they feel like they're being mistreated and they go complain, or you finally get the stones to fire them because they come in late all the time or you caught them stealing or whatever, and then you go to fire them, and then it's like someone else calls NAACP on you and make it look like you're a complete racist. It's like, look, I'm trying to run a business here. This person isn't here on time, they're late every freaking day, they have banker's hours. How am I supposed to get product done if my worker doesn't show up to run the damn press? It's not the personal, it's business. People don't understand that shit, you know?
I've heard that exact same story from people working in a warehouse. The minorities, it'll typically be blacks and, like, lesbians, and they know full well that the people, the middle managers, are afraid of lawsuits and will let them get away with everything, and the work falls on the white man. Who can't get away with stuff, and he's the one who gets browbeaten by the human relations people about the diversity and sensitivity, and yet he's also the one who has to carry the extra load when the blacks and these other ones slack off. I've heard that directly from people. So I know you're right.
I've seen it firsthand. And not all of them are like that either, Alex. I mean, I know a couple of black guys that are, you know, they take care of the family.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But then, you know, one guy, I know his mother's sick, so he has to go check on her every morning before he comes to work. He had to take personal time off because his son had to have some brain surgery done for something. So he took like 3-4 months off, obviously losing a lot of money because he couldn't work.
Mm.
And so it was really tough on him financially. But he makes sure he does the same routine every day to make sure his child's taken care of, you know. And me personally, you know, if anyone were to call him a nigger, I'd be pissed off because he's not, you know, because he's actually doing what he's doing. He's taking care of his family.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt there's blacks who are competent, qualified, caring. I mean, the thing is, whenever you see the term nigger used, you know, the left will say, oh, that has a freighted history, blah, blah. Hey, it's not history that attaches weight to that word. It only works as an epithet if it actually fits the real-world behavior of most blacks. And the second they start acting like that, the person using the term looks like a jackass. Now, if I don't use the word to describe someone who's made legitimate intellectual achievements or lives a moral life, like, say, Thomas Sowell, if I call him a nigger, I look like an idiot. He's not a nigger. He's some black who's done a lot of achievement. But if I say... I'll take it straight up. I think the average black is a nigger, but a minority of them, yeah. They used to call them the talented tenth, and probably somewhat more than that are capable of being morally regular. But I mean, on the whole, when they move into, there's a reason that whites, when blacks become about 12% of the neighborhood, whites leave, and that tells you right there, there's a racial generalizable difference in behavior between the races. And whites want to live around whites, and that's been made illegal. And that's my objection with the constitutionalist stuff. The revolution already happened. We don't have free association. And that's the legal basis of that we need to protect ourselves if we're going to have multiple races in one country. I don't think we should. We need an all-white society. Very obviously, even if it were an all-white dictatorship, it would be better than living in a multicultural, undeclared dictatorship. But... yeah, I mean, the simple behavior of whites, even when they're completely propagandized for decades, shows you that these racial differences are real and meaningful to real world people, and yet they have no political advocates or advocacy or representation. An opinion columnist, I was reading Ann Coulter today, and she's arguing against Mexican invasion and pointing out the hypocrisy in the Jew Sheldon Adelson that all the potential presidential contenders went to see in Las Vegas, you know, the casino guy who was worth $39 billion or something, pointing out how he's totally against illegal invasion of Italy by or of Israel by Africans, but he's totally for the invasion of the U.S. And most Jews maintain that double standard. But see, here's the thing: why is my point is that hey, Sheldon, all these Mexicans that are coming in, the ADL says they're a lot more anti-Semitic than white people. You should be worried about that. Well, how come Coulter, of all these people, Coulter's so bold, how come she isn't saying, what about white interests? Whites don't want these people. Who gives a flying fuck what Jews want? Whites created this country, not Jews. Whites don't want these people coming in. Why aren't white interests represented? Why is white interest something that isn't even legitimate? That is the major hole in our politics, and that it cannot be accounted for other than by some X factor, which we know to be Jewish suppression, and calling anyone who says the things I'm saying hate. And my only argument with the Constitution, you're not going to oppose that from a race-free basis. There has to be a racial team. It's not me saying that. It's history. What we saw in Germany last century, that's how you oppose it. And the same thing going on, actually, of all places. I don't know if your listeners are familiar. It's going on in Greece today. They may have heard about Jobbik and Hungary getting a good percentage of the vote as nationalists. But Greece, it's even more interesting. The nationalists, who are pretty overtly modeled on NS, got up to 7% of the formal vote and had 15% of rising in the polls. What did the Democrats do? The AJC, the American Jewish Congress in New York, ordered Samaras to throw them all in prison, and he complied. So they had 18 members of the 300 Greek parliament, and he threw about half of them in jail because for no reason. I mean, they came up with a pretext, but they just decided, we're going to declare you a criminal organization and throw your leaders in jail because we're afraid that you're going to take over the country. Greece has, like here, Greece is about 10, 11 million people. It has about 1 to 2 million illegal aliens. They've turned Athens, a large portion of it, into a shithole. And Golden Dawn is kind of the local Greek nationalists rising up against the international bankers led by the Jews, the other people who want to create a new world order, and say, no, we want Greece the way Greece used to be. We come from a proud tradition, and over there they have terrible unemployment. That's the one factor we don't have in the U.S. that they have there.
Yeah.
And so that is, in my opinion, the most interesting situation on earth currently existing politically in relation to the future of white people. So I track that very carefully.
What they said was that when they started arresting National Dawn members and leaders and stuff, that some of the mid-level leadership that was still there said, if these people aren't released by the time of the elections, you're going to see a new part of the reform called National Dawn, and you think it's bad enough. We've got 50,000, you know, 50, 60,000 guys in the street protesting the shit now. Once you become National Dawn, it's going to be completely countrywide because of the fact that they're going to see that, obviously, there's forced suppression there. I mean, you got nationalists basically saying, hey, Greece should be for Greeks. That's one of the things I was talking about, what's going on in Scotland. And, you know, they're sitting there pining about Uganda, bitching about their having the anti-homosexual law that they just passed, and basically saying, hey, oh, come to Scotland. Dude, first of all, you already got busted once as pandering to aliens to come to the country for yes votes. When your polls are still slowly rising for the independence movement by native Scots. So you got busted once trying to bribe them to come there. And then secondly, it's like, if you start having all these foreigners and homosexuals come there, you're going to wind up with a lot more situations like what's going on in Sweden, where all these Muslims are just raping and pillaging all these white people there. I mean, within what?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to say by 20, it's going to be a third world country in Sweden now because the raping is going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've told your listeners what's going on in Sweden with these they're Minnesota crazy level in Sweden. Of course, they're the same ethnically. That's where all the Swedes in the U.S. are, is in Sweden or in Minnesota. But they're so tell people what's going on in Sweden racially.
Well, they're being totally divided and conquered. I mean, there's reports in CFCC.org report about this a lot, where literally the government is actually paying for these suckers to be in there, put them in high luxury hotels, and they get like 5, 6, 8, 15, 20 of them in a single frickin' room. And then when they have like a servant girl, you know, room service, whatever, bringing food up and stuff, there was one particular case I read about where they basically trapped her in the room, and there was 6 Muslim guys in there, and they basically for 8 hours straight ran a train on her on every possible orifice in her body that they could muster. She was so physically by this shit, Alex, that not only was she completely in shock, but she can't even shit straight because her lower GI tract had been so damaged from the ravageness of these fucking animals. And at the same time, it's like they want to bitch about us sitting there saying, you know, we like to have, you know, a little bit more equality for whites because the fact that, God forbid, you should be a white nationalist and say, hey, I'm going to stand up for white people because I don't like the way they're being treated. You're all making call it freaking racist. But yet Al Sharpton can go up there and call not only for boycotting of advertisers and things like that. He's actually advocated for the assault, battery, and even the murder of people. And then we just found out that he's basically been an FBI informant the whole freaking time. That's his pain in his ass.
Yeah. I mean, we've been watching that guy for, yeah, and that was very eloquent. Your description of Sweden and this I'm telling you, white middle class people are going to start to learn the world is a lot harder thing than we, and I'm including myself in that. I grew up that way myself. I didn't grow up poor. You know, the world is a pretty darn rough place, and you need to realize that a lot of what we built here is a racial thing. It's not, you know, we can get along with some Asians, okay, maybe, but, you know, there's rough people out there, and you take these, Kevin McDonald's written about this. You take these Muslims and stick them in Sweden. Well, these Muslim areas they're drawn from, these are clan-type people. And what will happen, I know McDonald's written about this, you'll get some Norwegian boy who will get in a fight with the Muslims, and they'll call up all their friends and buddies and uncles and cousins, and Norwegians and Scandinavians are some of the most individualist and calmest people you're going to find. And they don't have 50 other brothers to back them, and they get the hell beaten out of them. Meanwhile, the feminists, these nutty, wacky women who control these Nordic states along with, you know, the Jewish media, and despite what Jared Taylor says, the media up there, the private ones, the ones that aren't owned by the state, are owned by the Jews just as they are here in the U.S., are preaching this diversity and race mixing, and all of a sudden you don't have – I mean, they're crazy up there. They try to get rid of masculine and female pronouns. They try to use like a one pronoun for both sexes. They try to get men to sit down when they're taking a piss. I mean, just absolute crazy. And this is the acme of craziness in terms of a political correctness. But I remember Al Sharpton back when he was lying about Tawana Brawley. First time I ran across him, claiming she'd been raped by a bunch of white men and smeared with shit and left in a bag. You remember that? That's already 30, 40 years ago now.
Yeah.
But he's been a tracksuit wearing fraud for decades. Never hurt his credibility with the media. They're always willing to call him, and he's a civil rights champion for black folks. But we can't even have one white advocate because that's hate. But I'm not a conservative. I don't bemoan double standards or expect the enemy to treat us fairly, because that's all conservatives ever do is whine, oh, they're not treating us fairly. Yeah, no kidding. They're your enemy. And people need to accept, like Sally Field, accept the reverse. They hate us. They really hate us. And they really do. Go read the leftist sites at Gawker. They friggin' hate white people. And as the demographics change, they feel emboldened. You know what it's exactly parallel to? It's like when you get some hyenas and you got some lion standing over a kill, and there's one or two hyenas and they're barking and making noise. But then when there's five or six, you start getting, they're like, hey, we can take this fucker on. We can kill it. We can eat it. Let's do it. And they're getting towards people like that.
A lot of prominent British rock stars are stepping out too. Roger Daltrey has spoken about the illegal immigration coming to this country. Of all people, Roger Waters. I mean, many of the members of Pink Floyd are very far left. But he was talking about essentially the Jewish supremacy and the New World Order that they're pushing. And as soon as he speaks about it, all these left-wing individuals just savagely attack him. And say, oh, you're a has-been. There's a reason why you got kicked out of Floyd, because you fucking suck and this, that. You know what I mean? They start immediately attacking the guy. And the guy's a multi-million record-selling individual and part of a group. And it's just like, dude, really? The guy speaks out about something and you just want to totally turn him into a pariah. It's bullshit, you know?
Yeah,
so,
and look at the UK. Look at that on the map. I mean, it's barely bigger than Missouri. It's a couple hundred miles either way. There's no land there, man. There's already – you can't pack – they're headed toward 80 million people like Germany. Even Germany is overloaded with 80 million people. I mean, and are you going to put 80 million people on the UK? I mean, that's crazy.
Right.
You need to have some room. Aryans need room and privacy.
What's the best way to check out what you do and look on the web, vnnforum.com?
Yeah, the two things. You named them up front. I'm on Twitter at AlexLindard5, and I am an epigram maker, tradition of Mencken and Wild, in that line. And if they were alive, they'd be using Twitter. I'm using Twitter. I do satire, I do epigram, I do reviews, I do rants, I do articles, I do essays. But most of what I do to provide you a contextual information to understand your place in the world, vnnforum.com. Welcome to join. And thanks for having me a bunch, Sonny. I appreciate it. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, brother, I appreciate it. Thank you. Forum, and again, you go to vnforum.com and also follow him on Twitter. And it's just, we definitely talk about this a little bit, because it's social engineers and everything that can divide us. And we're using race and ethnic stuff to try to keep us divided entirely. So it's definitely not a good thing. So we're going to go into the overdrive hour here. Website for springboardteaparty.com, springboardteaparty.org, csohio.org, and the HMD at PHEHMD.com. So, closing up with Frozen Arms Band's song Voices, and then we're going to go back into the next hour and finish up with some of the and talk about the ranch situation and Agenda 21 that's happening there at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada. So, definitely check out our art on our network and check out our other shows. Again, StoneThomas.com.
All those broken pieces pour out on me. Voices are calling me out. They give me answers to my fears. Open up for the rising tears, my friend. Far from home.
Here on the St. Thomas Show here on blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges, and we're going to finish up the last talking points of my, well, both my guests, really. Again, we have Lori Handrahan, who's a very accomplished individual. She's been overseas. She's seen a lot of stuff firsthand, what's going on in the craziest stuff in the world, and most recently, personally, she's had her daughter taken from her from a really sick ex-husband who managed to do some terrible things to her daughter. And she has no way to contact her or even has any chance of going. And not to mention, if she were even go back to Maine, if they caught her, they would arrest her on the spot and basically told her so many words that she's going to be raped herself. So pretty much just trying to expose what's going on with the corruption in that area. It's just anyone who stands up and tries to say, hey, again, sends out a clarion call, they're basically considered enemy of the state. And we see that all the time. This is one of the reasons why I'm very skeptical of having multiple members of a family in government in any way, shape, or form. For example, here we have State Senator Shannon Jones, who was in the House originally, and then when the senator that was in that position in the 7th District died, she got appointed to his position to fill out the rest of his term, which means she still had two full terms that she can do herself, and now she's getting ready to go on her second full term. But we're seeing a lot of things that's questionable about Shannon Jones. She calls herself a conservative first, but I think we should actually tell her that's false advertising. Maybe go up to one of her signs and put Neo next to the damn thing, because she's in many ways a neocon. There's many things that she's been silent upon, and there's many things that she's vocaled on. You have to scratch your head and go, what the fuck? For example, when the guy out there near Zanesville, Ohio, a few years ago, whatever reason, decided to let his exotic animals loose and shot himself in the process, okay? No one from PETA said anything about this, but all the local law enforcement basically went out, and they didn't try to tranquilize or adopt these damn things. They were going to actually shoot to kill these wild animals. And so she helped co-sponsor a bill banning exotic animals in the great sovereign state of Ohio. And I called up her and said, whoa, hold on a minute. I was like, why are you co-sponsoring an exotic animal ban bill? You know, I was like, that's a fucking joke. I mean, first of all, if they're in a contained environment and they're properly contained, properly taken care of, unless you're dealing with, you know, like a snake or something, and the snakes oftentimes do turn on their owners. I've heard stories where there's a guy who's found and been dead for almost 2.5 months and eaten alive by this corpse had been chewed on by many of the animals he had in his house because obviously he wasn't around to feed him anymore. So he started eating, chewing on his corpse. But, you know, that's what you get when you want to have different snakes and stuff inside your home and shit, and one of them bites you and you die. Oh, well, that's a bitch, you know. But there are many people out there who raise exotic animals. I know a lady that raises llamas. You know, I don't know if that's really considered exotic, but it's not something you normally see in a ranch. Technically in Southwest Ohio that much, but I mean, you know, it's pretty sad. But what really bothers me is the fact that where is she on real issues that matter? She supported Kasich's Medicaid expansion here in Ohio. That's bullshit. She should have said, hell no, you're growing government. I'm not for that. If she's supposed to be conservative, then she should have said, oh no, well, if you are going to do that, sir, then we need to curtail that a bit, if not get rid of that whole idea entirely. No, she went along with the party plan. What she does to mask herself to look like a conservative, she focuses on bullshit such as she's helped pass this thing that she authored about SIDS, about SIDS Awareness Month or some crap like that, and then to help make adoption easier. One of the problems I have with most of this adoption situations is she a lot of celebrities keep promoting this shit, such as Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They keep adopting all these damn exotic children. They never go and adopt American children. I don't understand this shit. And Madonna is trying to adopt a child from Nigeria or some shit, and they basically told her no. And then there was Who else said that? Sandra Bullock has adopted a black baby from some frickin' African country. I'm like, really? I mean, first of all, statistics show that when even white people and celebrities have some influence and money whatsoever, even if they adopt the baby young, it could be an infant, when they realize that they're black and their parents are white, then, you know, there's a hidden animosity there. And then if they listen to any of this bullshit like Spike Lee puts out, that you should hate the white man right off the bat, what type of shit is that? I mean, here's an example. Public Enemy are black nationalists by definition. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, like I said, I've stated many times before, my favorite civil rights activist of the 60s was Malcolm X. You listen to what he said, man. He was dead on money. You know? He was a black nationalist. I don't have a problem with that. He's standing up for his fucking people. But if I'm a white nationalist and I'm standing up for white people, oh, I'm a racist. I'm not a civil rights leader. I'm not a protector. I'm a racist because I'm standing up for white people. Whatever, dude. There's a lot of white niggers out there, too. I mean, I saw it when I was in high school. I mean, and I've asked some of these guys. They walk around with britches hanging around the waist and shit. If you realize that if you're in jail, you're basically someone's bitch for a night, that's what you're calling for. We throw you to it, but when you got your britches hanging off your ass like some little faggot like you are, you're basically saying, hey, pick me. I'm your bitch for the night. You think it's cool and trendy, you know? Look at a lot of the gangster rappers and the clothes that they wore in the early 90s. Ice-T in particular. A lot of those baggy-ass denim-like or cloth-like clothes that they wore were all based on jail fatigues, man. Because they've been in and out of the clink so damn much, they got used to wearing the shit, so they almost considered their uniform. So, I mean, there's issues there, you know? But one of the problems I have with gangster rap is the fact that it's so laced with profanities. I mean, what senator is going to sit down and listen to Tupac? I mean, Tupac was very socially conscious on many issues. Abuse, racial tensions, and all sorts of shit. Just general criminality. What senator is going to take the time to listen to All Eyes on Me? Dude, I can't, I mean, I know when I listen to Tupac more than a couple of days, dude, my colorful metaphors really start becoming rampant because of the fact that I'm used to hearing it. I'm around someone at work that uses the F word all the time. I'm going to start using it a little bit more myself just because I'm become accustomed to hearing it in second language. You know, a good friend of mine, I swear to God, every fourth or fifth word out of his mouth is fuck. You know? And sometimes it's embarrassing when you're out there in public and shit, getting some chow or something like that, and every other fucking word out of his mouth is this, is fucking this, and fucking that. And this. My grandpa was like that. Every other word out of his mouth was goddamn it and Jesus Christ. I was just like, ugh. I remember the joke I used to hear in school. Kids out there was like, God damn it, where are you? He's like, but Dad, I'm Jesus H. Christ. You got the wrong kid. That's some good funny shit. But going back to what my first guest was talking about, she's trying to expose the shit that's going on. But again, as I said before, law enforcement, are they our protectors or our predators? I mean, I put out a couple videos where it showed that cops are starting to hide behind fucking bushes again, that they're starting to hide behind buildings, supposedly doing paperwork. Franklin cops, I see in Springboro all the fucking time, and we're not just talking just within a quarter mile of the corporate line to go get some chow. I mean, here's one of the problems we have. Franklin doesn't have very many good places to eat chow at all. I mean, literally, there's like three or four places down there in Franklin. You got Subway, you've got a First Famed Recipe, which kind of half sucks, and you've got a couple of Chinese places, and that's about it. I mean, there's no real food unless you go down by Town Mall. There's a couple of places down there to eat at, but that's basically going into Middletown, okay? Most of the food around here is in Springboro. Now, one of the problems that we have is we found out that from Franklin Clear Creek Road, 275, all that tax money, all that sales tax money, all goes to Franklin Township, okay? If your kid lives in some of the apartments back there, they're forced to go to Franklin schools even though they've got a damn Springboro address, which is totally bullshit. If I'm living in Springboro and I'm paying taxes, my kids should go to fucking Springboro, you know? I mean, now we've got a Marxist-controlled school board who's wasting no time to spend money, and they're already basically embracing Common Core and all this other happy horse shit that's going on here. I mean, we spent 4 years under the Cole administration to make sure that we had a really sound frickin' school system. We were $20 million in the hole when she got elected in 2010. When she left, we had basically had looked at a $6 million plus, reaching almost $10 million by the time the next contract was due in 2 years. She's done a fantastic job. As a matter of fact, Kelly Coles is running for state senate against Shannon Jones. And you want to go to ColesForOhioSenate.com. So that's K-O-H-L-S for F-O-R, OhioSenate.com. And you can see some of her stances and some of her general criticisms about Shannon Jones. We know that she is no real conservative, you know. I mean, I remember one of her newsletters about 6 months ago that I mentioned before in the show that really I thought was appalling. In the first part of the newsletter, she mentioned that they had saved the Bureau of Worker Compensation here in Ohio $1 million in fraud claims. They were able to basically retrieve all that money, but basically shaken down, not shaken down, but basically going through a more fine-tooth comb these fraud cases for people supposed to hurt themselves. On the same stroke, at the second story in her damn thing, she was talking about how they're increasing education spending by $750,000 in the state. Are you fucking shitting me? Really? I mean, she goes from saving $1 million here, but then she's going to take three-fourths of that money and throw it at education. Wait a minute, that's what Democrat does. So this is the type of shenanigans that goes on, but nobody wants to talk about this. And I will tell you this. Anytime I've called her office anymore, or basically, if they write down anything I suggest she even look into, I never get a follow-up, I never get a fucking email, nothing. She just totally just ignores me because of the fact that she knows that I know what she is. She's a complete phony and a fraud. And one of the problems that I had was her husband was running for township trustee at Clear Creek Township the last election, and I spoke out against that. I said nothing against her husband, Russ Jones. I mean, I've met the guy. He's all right. You know, he's a manager at a tire place. I don't have any problem with that. But I do have a problem with is two members of the family, especially both parents, and basically getting government jobs. Because there's going to be a lot of back-scratching going on there. She's a state senator, and he would be a township trustee in the county. I have a serious problem with that, man. There's going to be a lot of fucking handoffs going on there. Money exchanging hands at the drop of a hat. It's called corruption, man. I seriously got a problem with that. I think we should pass a law in the state that if you have a direct family member, such as a spouse or a son or a daughter, that should not be allowed to hold any type of political position in the same county, man. I mean, it's just too much hand going on. But then at the same time, you've got situations like the Ruperts here, which is a longtime family. You got Judge Rupert, who Rupert, what kind of fucking name is that? He's now the judge. His dad used to be the judge here in the city of Franklin. Okay, guy's a corrupt piece of shit. He's a complete and heart level Democrat. I've actually sat in his damn court and watched during traffic cases. If you're a fairly well dressed female and you have any type of speak fairly well, you will get twice the amount of time to pay after fine for traffic irritation. If you are a white male, and of course some of these guys that come in here just because they have a button-down shirt to think they're dressed for court, and he'll tell you straight up, you need to, you know, clean your shit up or whatever the case would be. He will give you maybe a week or two to pay this shit, full fine, and you basically have to go on and beg for mercy at the court if you're not employed in 2 weeks ago, otherwise he'll throw your ass in the clink. He's got family members who also run positions in Middletown. Middletown's corrupt and rife with drug running and stuff that's going on, so you can see a lot of shit that happens around here. I mean, there's so much corruption going on, and Franklin Police Department is corrupt as hell. I've heard a number of stories. Cops, I've had a case where a cop lied on the bench in my freaking court case, covered his ass, said, no, it didn't happen that day, it happened this day, because that's the date that I wrote on the damn sheet. Well, yet with the chief himself said that no, the case happened the day before. So, I mean, you know, where the hell is the damn credibility? And just because I have a cop up there who talks in police jargon, they sound more credible and shit, those are the ones I'm going to scrutinize the most, you know? And, I mean, it's just so much corruption going on here, man. It's really sickening. It really is. It's absolutely sickening on multiple levels. And I see a lot of issues going on here. So, in my case, I'm running for state central committee. And I'll say succinctly in my last candidate's form that I tell them specifically that I'm a strict constitutionalist, a Jeffersonian Republican, and anyone who comes up in front of me looking for my vote that we have to appoint to a position, if they're not basically the same as me, if they're not strict constitutionalists, if they have any type of office before where they have any type of voting record, if they can't produce that on the spot and show me what the hell, who, why, and when they voted for them, what was the causes behind it, fuck them. They're not got my vote, you know. I put my voting record when I was on the county center committee on my website. When I went to get my ballot signed, my petition signed, I had one guy ask me, well, okay, you said you held office before. What did you do all in there? I looked that sucker right out and said, here's my voting record. I'd put what I voted for and why. He was very impressed. He was very impressed. I look forward to hopefully getting his vote on May the 6th. So, again, so if you want more information on what I'm doing and what I stand for, go to thomasforohio.org, which goes to my Facebook page, and I've posted on there, and I'll also post some stories of what the hell is going on and various other things so you can get a general idea of what my political philosophy is if you haven't already followed me on many other things or listened to the show. So there's a lot of scary shit that's going on here, a lot of corruption going on both sides of the fence. And what the Republicans have done to the libertarians in the state is totally unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable on multiple levels, which brings me up to my next topic. I have two very very interesting guests that are going to come on next week's show. 9 o'clock hour, I have the Libertarian Lieutenant Governor candidate. She's going to be on in the 9 o'clock hour, and yet they still have not ruled what the hell is going on with Charlie Earle and Sherry Clark's ballots and some of the other Libertarians that are going on here. So we have no idea what's going on. Well, then why are the Republicans so afraid of competition? You know? Why are they so afraid of it? Because they know if there's a plot, the Democrats are going to get, right? Divide the vote, some people say. Well, you know what? And I got into an interesting debate with a gentleman after my speech a couple weeks ago. He goes, we should have a libertarian, we should have third parties out there. You want third parties? Well, yeah, dude. It was supposed to hold each other accountable, the arena of ideas. Well, that's going to divide the vote. Well, of course. You get a plurality vote. You got guys good enough and shit, he's going to win. Doesn't matter what his freaking party is. If he's got principle and he's sound on it and he believes in what he believes in, not just believes in telling you the rhetoric one way and then talks out of the side of his mouth the other way like Obama does and shit. Sometimes you catch that some of it's talking on both sides of his mouth at the same time in the same speech. Mr. Eloquence, what a joke. So my particular beef with the Republican Party is, and I hear this from blue-collar workers, they don't trust them anymore. Dude, what the fuck? If Obamacare is that bad, why are they defunding it in Congress? Why are they still going through with it? Because they can't do shit. They got poor leadership like John Boehner in there. He's not going to do shit. And I heard one of his ads on KRC the other day. The guy's a complete fraudster. I mean, seriously, I'm surprised someone hasn't sued his fucking ass for false advertisement. Dude, you're full of shit. And I think someone should call him up and put an ad out and say, you know what, to be quite frankly, John Boehner's ad is completely horse manure. And it should be called as such. Boehner needs to go, man. He's been here since 1990. It's time for him to go. It really is. And I'm seriously considering leaning more towards term limits because of the fact that some of these guys have been in there so goddamn long, man. They got to go. They really got to go. One of the reasons why I don't want them to go and why we shouldn't have term limits in Congress is the simple fact that some of these guys are in there long enough that what they do is they recycle these bills. And if you get the ones that are vigilant and watch this shit, they'll go and call and say, hey, I voted against this shit 10 years ago because of the fact you guys are trying to pull shit, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the advantage. I mean, the days when you had a Joe McCarthy, a Barry Goldwater, a Ted Kennedy, love them or hate them, they were consistent for the most part, and you knew what the hell you were expecting. When we had congressional committees back in the 50s and 60s, it was a big fucking deal, man. When you're being scrutinized by the Congress, and you try to get Barry Goldwater a line of bullshit, he'd call you on it. Now we got guys like Lori Lerner out there basically saying, I ain't got to do shit, I'm going to plead the fifth. I can't plead the fifth with the IRS. So how is the IRS person able to plead the fifth against my representative? Bullshit. I think they finally put her in contempt today in court. Well, Holder's supposedly been in contempt. Why is he still running around causing shit? Why isn't he in jail? You know, Fast and Furious, the Black Panther Party intimidating voters in Philadelphia. Why is this motherfucker allowed to keep running around? You know? Can you imagine some of these cats under the Bush administration pulling this shit? They'd be hanging from the highest tree, man. Their head would be on a spike. I mean, this is just selective enforcement on all levels. It really is. One of the things I have to say is when it comes, generally speaking, I mean, they're not totally perfect. They're more easily corrupted in many different ways. You have to have white males in positions of power for the most part. And the reason why I say that is because Congress is starting to become a majority of women in the House. I mean, it's really starting to get out of hand. And you see so many of these Democrat senators that are women. Oh, my God, they're so off the deep end, man. Like Feinstein, why that bitch hasn't been censored for even promoting the idea that essentially we eradicate the Second Amendment when there has been no official convention saying that it has been changed, you know? She's basically after, I'm going to take every gun from Mr. and Mrs. America out there. I'll be like, come in, Molon Labe, baby. Molon Labe. But yet you got yourself a bodyguard and a whole entourage fully loaded to the hilt. So some bitch comes up to you wants to throw a board of fetus baby on blood on your ass just gives you a bullet with your name on it or some shit. You're ready to shoot and break that fucker down, shoot him and throw him in jail for the rest of his fucking life. But you can go sit there and say that rhetoric and shit and get away with it? Oh, man. Can you imagine Republicans saying that shit? Unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. So this is why we need to hold these elected people accountable. And if there is going to be an Article 5 convention like we covered on the Truth Train this week, if there's any of the people out there might be listening, I'll tell you one thing I want to see. I want to see the 15th Amendment repealed. We need to make senators creatures of the state again, not employees of the federal government. So when you got assholes like Feinstein out there talking shit, there are people who say, you know what, we're tired of your shit, you crusty old hag. You're coming home and you're getting fucked booted on your ass. You already made, hundreds of millions of dollars off our asses? You're gone. Anyone who voted for Obamacare, you're out of here. You're gone. We're going to have you immediately recalled from office. And that's what we need. That's what we need. And that shit was taken from us. We need to get it back. We've got to take it back. We have no choice. The only option we have besides doing that way and getting it corrected properly is that we need to have we need to really push nullification on many of these issues. South Carolina is hopefully getting ready to nullify Obamacare in its entirety. Wow, that would be phenomenal. We have counties up there in Michigan who have nullified NDAA. We see a lot of people going up there covering a lot of shit. So it's getting really contentious what's going on there, and I think we need to really start asking elected officials, what exactly are you doing? For example, this candidates forum that I'm going to be speaking at on Monday, one of the people I heard is running for the state rep seat here in Ohio. We have a gentleman named Pete Beck is facing lots of criminal charges. Whether they're true or not, you know, in my opinion, I agree with some of the party. With that much over your head, all these indictments, I think you should step down. At least if anything, since he's at least free to walk around at this point, if he still had to do the job until the end of his term, I ain't got a problem with that, you know, as long as he's not trying to enrich himself or use the powers of his office to try to, decriminalize his actions, whatever the case may be. Let him finish his term and then get the hell out and then face the problems he's got afterwards. But I can tell you, Mary Jo Kubicki, one of the candidates that's running for a seat, when she was at the forum that I spoke at, she didn't say one lick of what the fuck she's going to do. Not one damn thing. We basically heard the poor me syndrome. Well, you know, I've been with the party a long time. I was basically the former treasurer of the Republican Party Women's Club, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And, you know, my brother died last year in a motorcycle accident. Okay, I feel for your loss. What's that got to do with anything? Well, you know, not that, but I've been supportive with Sheriff Sims over Deputy Julie losing his life in the line of duty over the Marcus Israel chase situation. Okay, we all sympathize. Quit devolving on this goddamn shit about a deputy who was dumb enough to stand in front of the vehicle instead of behind it when the guy lost control of the vehicle and got hit. How was that murder, dude? That's vehicular manslaughter. You know, that's what he should have been charged with. Not murder in the first degree. He didn't say, oh, I see Dooley, I'm going to get that motherfucker, I'm going to run down my car. That's not what he did. You know? That's not what he did. And that's why I really questioned Fornshell on what he did, prosecuting that guy in murder one. That's bullshit. The guy should have got failure to control, fleeing from police, and vehicular manslaughter because, in fact, he lost damn control of the vehicle. Because they were throwing down stop sticks, and he was swerving to try to avoid the shit, lost control of the car, and slammed into the deputy. I'm sorry. I feel for his family. I really do. The guy was at least, what, 15 years in the force or something like that? I mean, you know, anyone that has family members in law enforcement, man, you're always going to face the reality that they may not come home. They may have a bad traffic stop. They may go to a domestic call. You know, the officers go down at domestic calls. You'd be surprised. You'd be really be surprised, especially in the more contentious big city areas. It happens a lot. And it's sad. It always is. But you know what? You know the risks every day you put on the uniform, and hopefully you didn't forget your vest, that you may get shot, you may get assaulted somehow or stabbed or whatever the case may be, because there's some crazy fuckers out there, and many of them are on either prescription drugs or illegal drugs, and they're not going to have any regard for their actions. I mean, we see it all the time, you know? And law enforcement is not an easy job. It's dangerous, very dangerous. And any cop who wants to go and deal with that every day, it's fine, as long as they're not crooked and going and doing child porn and all this other shit. As long as they're righteous cops doing their duty, you know. A lot of them are starting to realize they're being nationalized. And they're starting to wake up and say, oh, hell no, I ain't pulling that shit on my people. That's just not even cool, man. But, you know, going back to Kubicki, she has not stated what she would like to do while she's in there. She hasn't stated what she will do if she's in there. And she hasn't stated what she like or what she's against. She didn't say anything. She spent her 5 minutes of her speech basically saying, well, I've been working with the party, you know, I've been doing this. I work with the company. I've seen how the economy is affecting. We had to rearrange shit. And basically, all woe is me on my brother and good friend sheriff's colleague, blah, 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 blah. Nothing about what she's going to do in office. I mean, I wasn't even bloviating about it. She was just basically playing a poor me syndrome. Oh, I vote the party, she'll elect me. But she's another neocon establishment rhino that isn't worth a shit. She really isn't. I mean, she tweets Bearcats, Bengals, and Reds fucking stats on her goddamn Twitter. When I was attacking her on Twitter, she blocks me on Twitter. I'm like, really? Well, I must be right calling you out for it. It's totally disgusting. But one thing that we're definitely seeing, with again, like going back to my first guest, when she's talking about this, the sick fuckers that are out there doing shit with the kiddie porn, it's a lot more structured than you think. And it's disgusting. And these are psychological vampires who go up and they feed off the essence of young children because they're innocent and they don't know any better. Again, I know somebody who had a good friend for a long time who was abused by her father to the point she was conditioned to enjoy it, to the point where she would actually go and basically brag that she had to go home so she could fuck her dad. I mean, oh, my God, dude. I mean, the thought of this is actually excruciating. It really is. And it's sad, too, because she really hasn't done much with her life. Now, obviously, she didn't wind up in porno or anything like that, but, I mean, her kid, what kid she does have are scattered. I mean, she had multiple abortions. God knows all from who, you know. I mean, essentially, by definition, she's trailer trash. It's so sad because if that hadn't happened to her, she could stay focused on her studies, and she might have actually been someone successful today. You know? She could have been a, who knows, she could have been a stenographer in court and made some pretty good money doing that shit, you know? I mean, all the career opportunities that this girl might have had at that time as she stayed focused on her studies are gone because she got warped to think this is cool. And, of course, that obviously is an active part of her lifestyle, which is very sad. It really is. So, I mean, you can't directly blame her. She's a victim, you know. She doesn't know any better. And if she does know any better, it's part of life that she's either accepted or embraced, whatever the case may be, because she was conditioned to. So it's basic psychology. So it's really sad that this shit goes on. It really does. But what you're seeing the social engineers are doing, they're dividing us on many lines, dividing us on gender, dividing us on race, dividing us on social class. I mean, Obama is a classic bait and switch and race baiter bigger than shit. I mean, he tells you one thing and tells you another. Oh, you can keep your doctor, but then you're getting screwed. Your premiums won't go up. Bullshit. My policy just got canceled. Oh, we're not going to seize your bank account. Bullshit. We already seen it happen on a number of occasions already. I mean, go to a hospital thinking you got Obamacare coverage. Shit, they won't even take it. It's a fraud. It's a complete fraud. And they keep us hate. They always keep the whites against the blacks, whites against the Hispanics, blacks against the Hispanics. But you know, there's very ethnic family structures that do revolve on many other issues. For example, a lot of the Italians have always had a patriarchal family where the father is the head of the family, and pretty much what he says goes. And even though they have disagreements with each other or have issues, when someone from the outside attacks any member of the family, they all circle the wagons and go after the guy that's attacking the member of the family. Asians are like that, too. They're very structural hard, even more than those in Italian, where the father's a patriarch, he gets the last word unless he's completely senile. By then, he'll have the oldest son take over the family affairs. And failure's not an option. You almost never see Asians fuck off or in bad situations because of the fact that they still have an honor code, man. You dishonor the family when you fuck off. Or you keep having encounters with law enforcement because you do criminal activity. You're an embarrassment to the family. Daughter becomes sexually active. That's definitely frowned upon. But in white circles now, not only is it considered accepted, it's considered a requirement that as soon as your daughter basically starts coming of age and starts getting all her woman parts in place, that now it's to be accepted. Like, oh, your daughter's 14. She's already sprouting some tits. Why isn't she pregnant yet? Really? I mean, Jesus Christ, I can imagine some friends of mine, if you said that about their daughter, he would probably go get his gun and shoot your fucking ass just for saying stupid shit like that. I mean, when my parents were growing up and they were in high school, let me tell you what, if a peer got pregnant, it was a scandal. It was a big fucking deal, man. It was an absolute scandal. Oh, wow. Mary Sue got pregnant. Oh, man. That's not even cool, you know what I mean? She was basically a social misfit. I mean, we're talking Scarlet Letter type of stuff, because that type of shit just was frowned upon because, in fact, you're supposed to wait till marriage. If not, you're supposed to at least wait till you're out of high school where you can do something about it, you know. Those days are dead and gone. Now, since you hit junior high and you start developing, all that can be sexually active. I mean, they basically say that's acceptable. They show up in movies. They show up in all sorts of shit. Why do you think Michael Myers kills all these damn teenagers in his films, dude? Because they're all fornicating and shit on his goddamn land. I mean, obviously the guy's a creature. He's got mother issues. We know that. So obviously he's not going to be getting up sexually, so he's pissed because he ain't getting none. I was just talking to somebody about that last night, as a matter of fact. It's like, maybe that's why he kills all these people, because of the fact that he's not able to enjoy himself. So if he can't penetrate a woman naturally, he's definitely going to take a stake and stake her. And, you know, some serial killers get off on that because it's the fact that the knife or the spear replaces the phallus. And basically because it does go through flesh, that it simulates sexual intercourse. And that's why some of these guys, like, besides, when you do a knife or a sword on somebody, it's more intimate. That's why a lot of these guys in medieval times or even ancient times. For example, even the movie 300, where they say Persian cowards, because they're resolving on arrows to try to take out most of the Spartans before they come in and attack them. They're like, man, Persian cowards. You know, a warrior will face you one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, sword to sword, man. That's how it's supposed to be, like Achilles fighting Hector, where Achilles told Hector when he killed his cousin. He's like, you gave me the honor of your sword, now I should give you mine. And that's how it was, man. It's that one-on-one combat. When you have a warrior facing a warrior, I mean, why do you think a true warrior says, I hope someone gives me a good death? Because of the fact that when you're a fighting man, you want to hope you go out with honor and dignity. No, not as a chump. Anyone can be tied up and you can go and torture and abuse somebody. That's a pussy. You want to fucking fight somebody, man, let the guy loose and go one-on-one and see how it is. No different than if you have a known pedophile in a padded room, they say, give me 5 minutes with the dad and let him take it. I'll tell you what, you know how many dads would love to go after someone with a daughter? Give me 5 minutes in a room with that son of a bitch. I'll take care of business. That's the way it should be, man. That's the way it should be. I mean, the guy's going to have issues when he finally goes to prison, if he goes to prison. Because now they always find some reason not to put people in prisons because they're overcrowded for nonviolent drug offenses, all sorts of crazy shit. So, I mean, it's just unacceptable. But I really respect what Laurie Hanrahan's doing, and hopefully she's able to finish her book and her research unabated and gets that book out. And if we do, when I get my store up running, I will hopefully be able to feature that book in my STS store. So that would be something to look into in the future. So, or if you go back and listen to this archive, I hope I'm very much looking forward to your finished book. Now, my second guest, Alex Leonard, he brought up a lot of very interesting points, too, where, you know, there are differences between the races, and some of those can be contributed to stereotypes, because nine times out of ten, a lot of times stereotypes are derived for a reason, because a lot of people follow the same thing. And it doesn't matter what race you are. You could be Asian. You could be African. You could be Russian. You could be Irish. You could be South American. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be stereotypes because of the fact that you're raised in a certain environment and you're raised in a certain culture. There's going to be certain basic traits of beliefs that you're going to find within each social group. And that's why there are stereotypes, because nine times out of ten, given the certain circumstances of a given social issue, you will see that person's true colors. How many times there's a major racial issue, such as the Trayvon Martin bullshit that happened, you see a lot of black people all of a sudden will start getting more standoffish on you because of the fact that, hey, wait a minute, hold on, man. They saw it as a white guy got shot and killed a fucking black kid. Really? He's an adult. He's white. Ooh, wait a minute, hold on. Let's look at the real facts here. The kid was a thug. The kid already had a rap sheet as long as my arm. He made pictures and videos of himself acting like a thug. He wrote to such. This, that, and the other, and he tangled with the guy who was armed. And not to mention, Zimmerman's half Hispanic. Nobody wants to talk about that. You know, CSCC did an excellent job exposing not only the media bias against Zimmerman and how they try to portray Trayvon Martin as some freaking saint or a new Rodney King. Stupid shit like that is what divides us. Look, the guy was charged with alleged crime. And we'd seen the mainstream media have been caught several times, especially CNN and MSNBC, who basically edited the 911 tapes to make it look like Zimmerman was out to get him for racial reasons. And it's not the case at all. He was trying to describe what the kid was doing, what he looked like, especially with that hoodie on at nighttime, and everything else, and then the dumbass kid went and attacked him. It's like what Ted Nugent said. What's the lesson here? Don't be a dumb fuck and go and attack an adult, stupid kid, because, you know, he may be armed, and he may shoot your fucking ass, and that's exactly what he did. I'm not justifying it. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the middle of the scuffle. But I can tell you this, you know. I know a lot of black teenagers like to fight. So, you know, this could be any number of situations. I mean, you don't know what was going on in Zimmerman's mind, you know. You don't know what stuff he may have faced in the past. He may have gotten beaten down at one point, and that's why he started standing up for himself. I mean, generally, for the most part, he's an honorable citizen. He's a neighborhood watch guy. He's looking out for the neighborhood. That's what his job was to do, and he had a concealed carry. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He did his freaking job. It's sad it was under the circumstances, you know. But, again, we weren't there, so you can't know what was going on in their minds when this shit was going on. But I can tell you, if someone attacked me and I had an opportunity to shoot the motherfucker, it wouldn't be by choice, but if it would have happened, you know, I would have put a cap in that fucker's head bigger than shit. Shoot him in the gut or something, just get the fucker off of me. I mean, that's the way it should be. So, I mean, now you're seeing this complete demonization of people who stand up for themselves or neighborhood watch people, whatever the case may be. It's disgusting. It absolutely is. But you get off the question why there's six Jewish families who run all the media in this country. This seems to be a serious question. I mean, again, what if it was six Irish families or six Polish families? Or six Italian families. You wouldn't directly assume that the mob was running the media? They'd be clearing calls to have trust busting going on to break this shit down and make them have other people hold on to the media company. So, like I said, they broke down NBC into ABC and NBC. They broke it down into two separate networks because it got too big. It was the biggest network at that time. So it's disturbing. It really is. And with these peaks and valleys in the business cycle, a lot of these companies, they require all of these other companies because the times get tough. these guys come in and flush your cash and say, hey, we're buying you out. Well, I'm losing money. I can't run my store. I keep my employees paid. You know? Well, we're buying you out. And, of course, you know, the merger of Time Warner and Comcast, that's very suspect. You should be very suspicious of what's going on there. That just makes you go, there's some serious consolidation of power, which is very disturbing in its own right. But nevertheless, again, we have Sherry Clark, who's going to be on next week at 9 o'clock hour. Again, she's Lieutenant Governor candidate for the Libertarian Party here in Ohio. And at 10 o'clock, I have former front woman of the hard rock all-female Detroit trio called Bruxilla. She was their vocalist, lead guitarist, and chief songwriter of the band, and the founder, of course. And now she also does a metal radio show up there with another host there in Detroit. And she also writes columns and things and promote music and doing album reviews and all sorts of other things. So I'm interested to see what she thinks about what's going on in the music industry, best better ways to promote it. And, you know, with the economy being as shitty as it is, there's not very many places that are willing to not only book a band, but pay them worth the shit because there's no money coming into it. I mean, with most of the light industry gone, who's got, you know, $5-$10 to go blow on a half a decent local show anymore? Unless this band really creates a following for themselves, nobody's going to take the time to go to a gig. I know I've booked a number of gigs for years. You know, and even at $5 a head, man, it's hard to make ends meet because you got a lot of factors that you have to pay in the process. You got to pay for sound, you got to pay for lighting, you got to pay all these people up front. And there's a lot of overhead. A couple of shows that I booked all showcases. Only one of them, I only made most of my either broke even or they made very little. Locked away at $40 or something. I had one show here in Springville actually, where I actually made about $200 or $300. But you know what? Sadly enough, whatever money I got that paid for my promotional fees, paid for my posters, helped pay some other things. And, of course, I had to buy a tire for my truck, which is my main company vehicle, quote-unquote, for my promotion business at the time. And I had to go buy a tire, and that was almost $200. So I didn't really make any money off that at all. I think I had like $80 put towards my next gig up front from the profits from that show. So I was able to print out all my 8.5 or 11x17 posters for the next gig. That's all I had available to me without spending my own money. But I did for the love of the local music scene. There's a lot of great bands. There's a lot of great talent. There's a lot of great diversity in music. If there's some exotic instrument here, someone in the Dayton area plays it. Somebody does. Or somebody knows somebody does. I mean, it's just there's a lot of good shit. There really is. So I'm looking forward to her comments on other projects she's doing. She's done some producing. She's played some other bands. She hasn't done any Bradzilla in a long time. They had a split EP with another band. And of course, they had one album, Lady Luck, which came out in 2001, which is a pretty solid album. And we're going to try to feature a couple tracks from that record on next week's show. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that rolls out. But you know, the biggest problem we see with the globalists is that they do divide us along racial, ethnic, and economic lines. I mean, again, like Jim Trafficking said a few weeks ago on my show, but they're eventually going to raise the poverty index to 35,000. Well, really? Wow. So to get more people on the damn dole. I mean, that's basically the median income for, you know, they consider it moderate middle class to be 55 to 80,000 a year. I'm like, are you kidding me? Shit. I think the most I've ever seen is maybe 26,000 in 1 year. And I did a lot of overtime. I really did. I did a lot of freaking overtime to get that high. I don't know. I'm not going to whine a bitch. I mean, my biggest problem, I'm happy. As long as my bills are paid, I'm content. You know, I got a few minor material possessions. Most of it I've acquired over a long time of saving and pension and buying a thing or maybe getting a couple things for free or some hand-me-downs from the family, whatever the case may be. A lot of little knickknacks and things of that nature. But and I also buy a lot of music and this, that. Yeah, but that's just my personal vice. I'm addicted to music, but I sure as hell I have a habit. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any drugs. I don't do any of that bullshit. So, I mean, I don't have any of the vices that would cost me money, you know. And the price of CDs are going up because it's getting harder to find. So you have to rely on digital downloads. Me, personally, I like having a physical CD, so I have the actual copy to begin with. I can put it in any other medium I want. And I like looking at, I like reading the liner notes and looking at the books and the graphics and the album cover artwork. I miss actual records, you know. I remember Gene Simmons, I miss actual vinyl because you had a pretty good-sized cover that you can have detail on. I miss that shit, too. So we got some serious issues going on here. But what's going on in the Nevada right now with the Bundy Ranch is very paramount because of the fact that, wait, if anyone's hearing this archive broadcast, I shoot out a clarion call right now. Any guy who's got a rifle, a Minuteman, or just a good old America patriot, a General Wayne type, says, you know what, this is like the this is the line in the sand when it comes to Gen 21 take over private property rights, man. Go to Nevada. Go to the Bundy Ranch. Go to the and pledge your support and say, hey, no different than the Alamo. David Crockett came from Tennessee and went to Texas. He knew he wasn't going to make it. Didn't matter. He knew it was about principle. And he knew what happened, hopefully, after they got overran, that Texas the Texas would rise up, and they did. So, I mean, I hope it doesn't turn into Ruby Ridge, but, I mean, you know, if you got enough people that are saying, hey, back the fuck off, and where the hell is the sheriff in that county? He should be up there saying, hey, get the fuck out of here, feds. You ain't belong in my county. Beat it. The government's kind of, you know, he's kind of, he's saber-rattling a little bit, but he's pretty much sitting on his ass. Well, that means if that guy's running for election again, you should be brought up. Hey, dude, you didn't do shit for these fucking ranchers. You're out of here. Get going. If I was running for governor of Nevada, that would be the first thing I'd do. Hey, I would not only go there and make a campaign about it, but at the same time, it'd be like, dude, I'm going to tell you how it is, man. And I think that's the way it should be. So I have deep respect for anyone who's running for office and say, hey, I'm going to tell you exactly what my principles are. I'm going to give a damn if you don't like it. This is where I stand, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to rescind if I have the opportunity to do so. I say it in my speeches. I tell them exactly what I'm looking for. You know, and I tell them exactly what I'm going to do when I get there. And I have already an accountable record that I've compiled to show that. So my constituents want to come to my website, catch me in a Kroger store, or call me up. Hey, what's all going on in the party? What do you want to know? Well, you know, such and such is running for office. I didn't like them, and here's why I voted against them. You know, they wanted to appoint this guy. I think it's worked that way. So I think it's definitely an issue that needs to be brought up. And I always appreciate people who have strong rhetoric, and the word and deed are one and the same, just like Reagan, for the most part, was, especially in the 60s. When he was governor, he didn't back down from Berkeley. He walked straight in that damn thing. He could have got out there storm drain. Hell no, he drove right out. He wasn't afraid of him. That's a man of sterner stuff, man. He ain't going to take any shit. So I'm totally cool with that. So anyway. Okay, so we're winding down here. We got a lot of the good stuff going on. And we have a live report from the riot at the Bundy Ranch. Wow. Okay, I'm going to post this on Sunday Thomas Show Facebook page. And it looks like Adam Gokesh is reporting this. So we'll have to check this out. So, but anyway, it's definitely a situation there going on. So, okay, again, if you want to follow Lori Hendrahan on Twitter, it's at Lori Hendrahan, then the number 2. And Alex Linder is at AlexLinder5 or at VNN Forum. So a lot of good stuff there. There's a lot of actually good bits and pieces of information that pops up from VNN Forum, which I forward a lot of my Springboro T Twitter a lot. And it's a very interesting aspect. So people are always afraid of someone who's a white nationalist. There's a difference between white supremacy and one who's trying to give you a clear call about white genocide. I mean, what's going on in Sweden right now is totally unacceptable. You know, it really is. It's just absolutely unacceptable. They're just killing people, raping and pillaging those people, and just all sorts of shit. And it's just wrong. I mean, some people say it's justification for what we did to colored people hundreds of years ago. Really? Well, you know, there may be a little bit of cause for that, but two wrongs don't make a right, man. You know, I mean, it doesn't do anything. But you got to ask what the hell is going on. Like I said, with Iraq, they make rape legal. That's bullshit. That's complete bullshit. But I definitely recommend look at your candidates closely, especially running the GOP. Call them, go to these things, go to these forums. talking to people, ask them what the hell's up, what they're thinking. Catch them. Get them on video. Say, hey, can I get you on video? You're talking. Sure. If they're not willing to get you on video, you know they're shady. Or I'll answer questions, but I have to have them prefabbed, and I'll answer them back. Bullshit. That means you're hiding something. Okay? So I've seen that number of cases, but we shall see. Okay. So just to mention now, May the 3rd here in Springboro at the Amphitheater North Park, we have the next Springboro Tea Party Rally. And so far I have four or five guests are confirmed, and I still have two or three pending. And one of them just had to cancel because she's already double booked. But she will be on my show on the 1st. Or no, I'm sorry, 24th, I think it is. My computer is running so damn slow, it's not even fun. Yes, 24th. Ricky Pepin from Institute on the Constitution will be here. I'm sure she'll talk about some of the controversy happening here in the world. She'll be here on the 24th and 9 o'clock hour to talk about the Institute of the Constitution and how it's waking a lot of people up and understanding the Constitution with its original intent in mind. So a very good interview that's going to be there. So thanks again to Alex Linder and Lori Handrahan for coming on the St. Thomas Show. Hopefully they kind of and now I'm going to talk about a variety of topics. Left, right, center, doesn't matter, because knowledge is power. And when we get all this together, we can really start understanding what the hell is going on here and see a mosaic and how we're surrounded by all sides, which in a way I'm kind of glad. If we're surrounded by all sides, if we're surrounded all around, then as a fighting unit, we can attack from all sides. We can attack from all angles. There's no direction. We could just go and just go there, you know. When I remember Commander in Korea said, sir, we're completely surrounded. I said, good, we can attack from all sides, and which was great. And that's the attitude you should take. But they're getting us on everything. Common core, food, water, blood in the water, everything you can think of. Can't have a garden in your damn yard. Forcing other ethnic groups into white areas. I mean, like the HUD secretary basically said, we're going to try to get as many blacks in white suburban areas as we can. I mean, white flight is rampant in California because all the mestizos are reinvading California. And you've got people such as the mayor basically saying this belongs to Mexico. That guy should be immediately thrown out of office. No, don't do that. It's a sovereign state of the United States. Fuck off. I mean, this is the type of scary shit that's going on there. I mean, leaders are basically totally betraying you. Obama has totally let down the American people so many different ways, but that's what he's supposed to do. So we need to get impeachment going on this guy and hurry up and get it done now before they try to push and advocate and try to have an opportunity to give this guy a third term. Because most of the blacks have voted for this guy just because he's black. And it's wrong. If you're going to have a black president, I'd rather have Thomas Sowell as president. I agree with Alex Linder, man. Anyone calls Thomas Sowell a nigger is absolutely foolish because the guy is a very well-thinking individual. He's really gone on true American principles in this country, but he's also spoke up for the black community saying, hey, why are we still accepting welfare checks? We should be out there busting our ass, you know, like John Singleton's Boys in the Hood movie. Larry Fishburne's character saying, you know, we need to keep black neighborhoods owned with black money. You'd be surprised who owns the note on a lot of these black communities. A lot of them are Jews, you know, because they owe the banks. The banks are mostly run by Jews. And there's a problem with that. I have a problem with any ethnic group having sole control over another one, using economic terrorism or economic means to keep them in an economic prison. Ice-T speaks about this often in some of his early albums, like an OG original gangster. You know, Ice Cube talks about the CIA are pushing the drugs in and always trying to catch black people white with white powder. I mean, they've got stereotypes that all blacks are running drugs. And it's not true. It's not true. There's a lot of blacks that aren't doing drugs, and they sure as hell ain't running the shit. If they are, they're doing them in nickel diamond bags, man. They ain't doing fucking huge fucking kilos. Some of them are. You know, like, what was his name, Freeway Ricky? I think he's a black guy there in L.A. He'd been peddling drugs for a long time. He finally got busted by the feds. But he, in the America Drug War in that film, he explains how he was actually set up. Not only was he kind of made to do it, well, it made it easy for him to do it, but when he started to wake up to what was going on around him and who was actually being affected, they decided to bust him, throw him to clean. We see this shit happen all the time, you know? So there's definitely some serious problems going on here. Okay, I've basically been running rants here for the last hour. I was going to play a little snippet program, but not enough time in the show today. So, but again, next week we have Sherry Clark and Rachel May. Very much looking forward to their comments, and especially going with libertarians in the state of Ohio. Hopefully they get a chance to be on the ballot. The thing I told that one guy I had a debate with after my speech, I said, you know, why is there even a Libertarian Party to begin with? It was formed in 1971. Because the true liberty-minded individuals in the Republican Party lost faith with the – they don't even follow their own platform. The Democrat light, man. And that's what I said in my speech. We should support small government, not just smaller government. Democrats take a train off the cliff at 100 miles an hour. Republicans do it only 80. But they're still going off the cliff, nevertheless, at full speed. So that is definitely a problem that's affecting all of us today. And it's time we start standing up and saying something about it. Okay, so hopefully you all enjoyed this program, and that is it for this particular episode of the Sonny Thomas Show. Again, check my websites at sonnythomas.com, springworkteaparty.com or .org, cfccohio.org, which is for the Council of Conservative Citizens of Ohio, and also check out my music website, the HMB Music Resource Guide at thehmb.com. Remember to not only listen to the archive shows of the Sonny Thomas Show, but many of our other shows in this network, such as Dashboard Outlaw, Liberty, The Truth Train, Guerrilla Radio, and many other programs that we feature on this wonderful network. There's seven of us that are busting our ass each week to try to bring you some information and talk about real issues that matter, and not the same old left-right paradigm bullshit that you can hear on Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. So that's definitely a plus for everybody here. Websites to check out in addition to that, Council of Conservative Citizens at cfcc.org. Also check out rent.com, InfoWars, which is Alex Jones' site, InfoWars.com, John Burt's site at jbs.org, and also look at stormfront.org, or .net, I should say, and I think another good website to check out. Bands, homelandmusic.com, fintanband.com, animalgrace, brothersandarmsband.com, and keep a close eye on legacyrocks.com because Legacy may be reuniting, even though replacing a bassist for one of the original founders, Patrick Palmer, who died from esophageal cancer about a year or so ago. Hopefully they may be reuniting soon and putting out some good material, so it's definitely worth looking out. You can find Legacy CDs on cdbaby.com as well. All right, just launch my hat and Illuminatium Delendum Est. Illuminati must be destroyed. Salute.